those of you who might not remember, but the Four Horsemen ride tonight on the Rogue Show. Let's give a shout out to all our sponsors real quick. Clinch Cuts and Mouth Guards, GetClinch.com. Also, Clock Tower Pub, number one sports ball in all of Oregon. Eat Cake Tattoo, and Vision Smoke Shop and Glass Distribution. You guys know the normal panel. We have LaFosse from Madhouse, Chris Gregory from Topics, Jason Ellis from RFS, also Clinch from Clinch Cuts and Mouth Guards. And tonight, we're being joined by even another special guest, John. Let me mute up Jeff. John, how are you doing tonight, man? Welcome to the Rogue Show.
Doing okay. Thanks for having me on.
Why don't you tell all the fans listening tonight who you are, and then we're going to get into the deep of it.
My name is John Prisco. I'm the promoter and president for Extreme Fighting Championships, XFC.
Well, you've definitely been in the news today. You've had an interesting thing happen, which is odd, actually, in the sport of mixed martial arts. You probably see something like this more in football or baseball, but you have a champion who doesn't want to fight to defend his strap.
Well, he wants to defend it. He just wants to be selective on who it's against. So that's really what's the issue.
Let's get the bigger question out of the way first. He claims to not be under contract. What's the actual situation there?
Well, as far as we were concerned, he's under contract. Now, I think they're claiming there's a clause in the contract that would void this contract. And this is a contract we've used since we've been in business. Never had an issue with this contract. So I haven't talked to anyone on the legal side of the business yet in regards to that clause. So I'm a little unclear about what they're talking about, whether or not Nick is. I mean, I assume Nick is under contract, but they say that there's a technique, there's something in the contract that could potentially void it. So,
well, what is his contract? What is his contract? Is it four or five?
His contract was a five fight deal over a 2-year period.
Okay.
And was that from the date of signature or from the date that his first fight in
signature.
The XFC happened?
Well, I don't remember when it started. It might have been for the first fight or it might have been from the signature. Usually it starts from the first fight. And it was five fights or 2 years, whichever came first.
And his first fight was December 2013, right?
Yes.
Or, I mean, 2011.
He's got four fights in.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, now, John Skipper, man, I got to ask you. All bullshit aside, how disrespected did you feel this morning by this whole situation with this camp? Did you feel like, and personally, I know that you have a business side, but personally, did you feel like this guy slapped you in the face and this is some bullshit?
Well, it bothered me, you know, it did. It bothered me particularly because I knew about the fighter that's been training to fight, Scott Holzman. And Scott's had to fight a couple of fights to get to this point. And so that bothered me. I'm always looking out for the fighters through that perspective as a promoter. And I don't like it when there's opportunity taken away from someone.
The thing, John, that surprises me the most is that Nick complained so vehemently before signing with you guys that nobody gave him an opportunity to fight, that everybody saw it as a lose-lose situation, whether, you know, if they beat him, where you're supposed to beat the guy with the disability. If they lose to him, it's a super negative thing. You guys went out on a limb. You gave Nick an opportunity to display his skill set on national television, you know, in a way that nobody else had done. He earned his title shot by defeating four fighters in your organization. He claims the title. Scott Holtzman does the same thing, wins four fights inside the XFC, earns the title shot in the exact same way as Nick, and then Nick turns around and does what he so vehemently was against when it happened to him.
Yeah, that's the part that was tough, you know, and you know, that was the part that I was having the difficulty with, for sure.
I gotta ask, was it difficult in the past to match him fights?
No. People were stepping up wanting to fight Nick because we get a lot of people that want to fight for us and have the opportunity to fight for the XFC and fight on TV. So that really wasn't the issue. But you can imagine how it's a challenge for some guys, you know, because they feel it's they're in a no-win situation fighting Nick. And I was impressed with the guys. I'm always impressed with the guys that step up to fight Nick because they're putting themselves in a difficult situation by doing it. So I always have a lot of respect for those guys.
So, you know, obviously, you know, we've seen the banter back and forth, all the people out there. People are drawing lines, and I got to ask you, do you guys say, screw the drawing the lines, we're not going to get involved in the he said, she said public stuff anymore, we're going to focus on getting him a fight to fight for this strap, or are you guys just totally scrapping that fight altogether?
Well, now we're going to be matching up Scott, because I'm going to make sure that Scott still gets the opportunity to fight. The opportunity to fight Nick, that's pretty much gone by the wayside now. So now we have to match up Scott, and Scott will be fighting June 14th for the belt.
Now
I love
here's my biggest concern, and I know I'm not trying to take away from John being here with us, but I want to talk to him about this because Nick says that he wants to fight guys that are former UFC veterans. But he hasn't even, out of the 9 guys that he's fought, they don't even have a 500 record. So, I mean, I don't really see where he can think that he should be handpicking opponents and trying to tell somebody who he's going to fight when he's just a prospect. I mean, I know there's people out there that think he should be in the UFC and all this stuff, but he hasn't beat the level of competition yet. And I'm not trying to take anything away from people he's fought. Eric Reynolds has a good record. But that's really the best guy he's fought.
Yeah, it's tough in this sport. You know, we've seen it happen with fighters, many of them that they get a lot of celebrity and there's a lot of people around them that maybe fill their head, you know. I've known Nick for a couple of years, and Nick's always been a very good guy, very gracious, and also it was kind of out of character, I thought, for Nick. And the whole thing has been pretty unfortunate, if you ask me, because there's a lot of young kids that follow Nick's career, and I pay attention to that. And Nick has made a major impact. He's brought people, a new demographic, into our sport, and there's a lot of mothers out there that have their children following Nick because maybe their child is dealing with some type of problem, and they're using Nick as an example. And I see them at our shows. I see these kids come up to Nick. Many of them drive quite a long distance to meet Nick, and Nick's always very good with them. So, Nick is making an impact, and that's one of the reasons why I decided that, all right, I said what I needed to say, and now I'm just going to chill out with the whole thing, you know?
Well, that sounds like a good segue into my next question with you, John. You guys were having a really super big week. Some great fight announcements, big things happening, big fighters getting signed. How was the first part of your week?
Great. Real, real productive. We've signed some really, really good fighters and put some matchups together for the card in June, finalized the card for the most part, and it was a very productive week.
No,
I like to have more of those kind of weeks.
Oh, I imagine so. Now, can we see another wave of signings coming up here in the near future?
Well, for us to be aggressive in signing more fighters, we're going to have to book more dates. So I'm very careful that I don't book more fighters than I have shows because I want to promote these people. That's the whole idea of signing them. So I generally am not signing fighters until I have opportunities to have them go out there and fight. And right now, until we have more dates. But there's some news that's going to be coming out about the XFC real soon. We're very excited about it. You guys will be hearing about it soon. And that might allow us to be more busy and sign more fighters. And that's what I'm hoping for.
Now, was the tryout your idea, or was that like a collaboration of the Brain Trust at XFC? Because I think that's an excellent thing that you guys are doing to give these local regional guys that, you know, are toiling around their state, driving 300, 400 miles, you know, to prove themselves, an opportunity to step up to that next level.
That was my thing. When I started the company, one of the reasons why I started the company was I looked at the industry, and I said, okay, well, UFC is obviously the 800-pound gorilla in the room. How would you be able to compete against them? So I looked at it, and I'm like, well, the sport is so new that, and I had owned an MMA training facility myself, and I saw the talent that was coming into my school, and I realized that. I said, this sport is evolving so quickly. If you could really be good on finding and identifying the talent out there, and then signing them once you identify them and locking them up for a period of time and be able to promote them, that you could really get the most talented stable of fighters. So when you knew that, all right, I'm coming into this new, but I had the comfort level of knowing that if we were very good on finding and identifying this next generation of superstars, we could have the most talented stable of fighters in the industry. And if that happens, of course, that makes you a force in the industry. So that made me comfortable in getting involved in the mixed martial arts. And I felt the tryouts was the best way to do it. And that's kind of something that's really grown. We started it in 2007 and done them pretty religiously, where we would go into a location and generally where we were going to start doing fights in that area. And we would do a cattle call, much like American Idol does. We promote it like a promotion, and the fighters would come and for the opportunity to fight on TV and fight for the XFC. And it's just grown. It grew to the point where that we just had a tryout in Chicago where we had 200 people there. It was insane. I never saw anything like it.
You touched on, you know, the way you're building your product, and I want to talk about that for a second. I like your mentality. It's a little different than some of the other promotions that openly say, look, I'm a springboard for the UFC. I like the fact that you're trying to build your own separate brand with your own separate stable of fighters and help develop them to that level and that caliber. How important is that to you as a selling point to fighters?
Well, I've rejected that from day one, where when people look at you like, you know, because a lot of the promoters take that position. They want to be feeders into the UFC. They use that as an opportunity. Well, look, I can bring fighters into the UFC. Therefore, fighters should want to come to me because there's a relationship between me and the UFC. And I just can't do that. By being a feeder into the UFC, then you're saying out loud that you're okay with being, you know, with being at a minor league to the UFC. And I'm not okay to be in minor league to anybody. I didn't get in this for second place, guys. I can't get out of bed in the morning if I'm looking at second place. So my attitude from the very beginning was that we were going to eventually be the best promotion out there and not a feeder into the UFC. Now, we have lost some guys into the UFC. That happens as a result of our promotion growing and getting bigger. It's our responsibility to reach a point where the fighters want to stay with us. And until we reach that level, it's not the fighters' fault for wanting to go to UFC. And I'm not going to blame fighters for that. Nick has that dream of fighting for UFC. I never had an issue with that with Nick. And Nick felt that the best way he could get to UFC was by fighting fighters that have fought in the UFC and won. And that's the approach Nick's trying to take as far as opponents. And
do you think Nick is ready for the UFC?
No, I don't. But I'm not going to say, you know, I'm not going to piss on somebody's dream. If he believes that, then you know, I hope he gets his opportunity to show people. But my personal opinion is probably not. There are fighters that he could beat, but there's some fighters that will give Nick a problem.
Yeah, for sure. I think he definitely needs to take some time, and you know,
I hear about Nick training in different schools like American Top Team in South Florida, and then I hear these guys comment about Nick. Like, for instance, before Nick Fort Reynolds, those guys were, every single one of them down there was convinced there was no way that Eric Reynolds could have beaten Nick Newell. And that is shocking to me when I hear people report from the schools that Nick's training in how excited they are about Nick. So Nick is obviously stepping on the mat and doing some special things at these schools.
Yeah, I mean,
you're talking about guys with some really good pedigree that are down there at American Top Team at Coconut Creek, and those guys were raving about Nick, because Nick spent a lot of his training camp against Eric Reynolds there, and they were very excited about Nick.
I don't think anybody's trying to take anything away from Nick, but, I mean, at the same time, I think that as the levels get higher, that there are going to be, I mean, limitations to you know, what can happen. I mean, the wrestlers are going to get better. I mean, like I said before, the guys he's beat don't have a combined 500 record.
You know, styles make fights, and that's something I believe in. I'm the matchmaker for XFC. And there are some styles that will give certain fighters trouble. And as a matchmaker, you have to be aware of the different fighting styles and which ones are when you're matching a fight. Because you have to almost try to figure out how this fight is going to go. And so to determine if you're going to have a good fight, you look at both fighters' strengths and both fighters' weaknesses. And you try to see, if this happens, how will this play out? And, and there are some guys, with most fighters, there are some guys that will give other guys just fits based on their style because it doesn't match up well against their particular style. So, I think, styles is what caused guys problems. And there's styles out there that will cause Nick problems. That's what I think.
I think elite level strikers more so, I think.
Well, I think so. Real high-level wrestling is a problem for most guys. Wrestling, to me, is the most important discipline in MMA. Wrestlers determine where the fight goes, whether it stands or goes to the ground. You could have the best jiu-jitsu in the world if you don't have the ability to take your opponent to the mat. No one's going to see it. So I've always been, wrestling has always been to me one of the most important disciplines in MMA. And if you have very high-level wrestling, you're a force in this sport right out of the box.
That's a good point. Now, you guys have also been developing the women's division, John.
Yeah.
How's that?
We're real excited about the females. Well, from the very beginning, we had female bouts on our cards. So Invicta came along, but that wasn't a new thing. We were out there doing it already. And we're happy that Invicta is out there because they're giving opportunities to females to the opportunity to fight. And there's more and more females coming into the gym. So it's good for the industry that Invicta is out there doing what they're doing. But we've been doing it all along. We generally have one female bout per card. And we're developing the 105-pound weight class, the 115, and the 125-pound weight class in the female division. And we've got some very talented ladies in all three weight classes.
Yeah, I like your fight on the upcoming card with Courtney Casey and Kelly Warren.
Yeah, we've been excited about Courtney. We've been looking to showcase her for quite some time. She's a very talented young lady.
Now,
with some vicious leg kicks.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just curious because I'm just that way. But I know you're up staying late tonight to hang out with us on the Rogue Show, and you're going to crash soon. But your media guys who are dealing with all this, are they going to get any sleep this weekend?
Well, I told my guys right up front, I said, guys, this is a pretty serious issue. I said, are you going to let me handle it? I don't want to see any of you guys popping off online. So I kind of laid the law down to everybody before it started because I knew it was about to go down because I was going to release my statement. So we all knew that it was, the phones were about to light up. And they sure did, let me tell you. Once that statement was released, things went crazy.
So I wanted to control the message. So from this point on, are you going to handle this when, like, per se, just now, Power MMA Talk or whatever is calling what you did ridiculous to Nick Newell and telling him he needs to go to another organization, they name it and stuff, and are you going to take these kind of things on, or are you going to let your team start to take this on? How is this going to handle from this point on?
Well, I've kind of made my statement, and my statement pretty much was it touched on what I, you know, on what I wanted it to say. I mean, I hit what I wanted to say in it. So it's out there. So and I'm always listening. If someone asks me a question, I'm going to give them an answer. That's just the way I am. And that's not going to change either. But I, at this point, to be honest with you guys, I'm not interested in crushing little kids' dreams that are following Nick. I like that. What's going on? I like what Nick has done for these people, and that's one of the things that I like about promoting Nick. And I would like to see that continue. And I don't want to see Nick's career get hurt. I hope it continues, and I hope Nick does well. I just it was unfortunate, the whole thing.
How are you going to determine the rest of the, let's say, the next couple of weeks building up to this event, which media outlets to go and display the rest of the card and talk about that in a serious nature and stay away from this whole fiasco?
Well, my guys in that handle media know which ones are the friendly media outlets, and if there's any out there that are popping off and being disrespectful to our promotion, we'll stay clear of them. Or if I'm in the mood, I'll take them on, you know, which I've been known to do that. So depending on the mood, we'll decide how we handle that. They're going to look like assholes if they want to take me on over shit like this. You know, if I get in the mood, I'm going to go, you know. But like I said, my goal is to, at this point, is just to try to downplay this and let Nick continue on with his career.
Now,
some things are bigger than
John,
the promotion, guys, and what Nick's doing is bigger than the promotion. That's my thoughts on this.
Now, John, you did earlier today, though, mention that you would be willing to let Scott do a one-off and fight Nick.
Yeah.
Is that still something that you would allow, or is that something?
Yeah, if that turns out where a promotion contacts me and both fighters want it, and I'd wind up allowing, and I've allowed fighters to do that in the past, to go to other shows and let a fight happen that couldn't happen in our promotion, but the fans would want to see. So if that comes down, then I'd be receptive to it.
Now, the thing that I think that everybody should focus on as far as XFC goes is the fact that you guys are giving dudes on the regional scene around the country a real opportunity to step up on that national level and really build their own career. You did that for a friend of mine this week, Dave Corshane. You signed him to a five-fight deal. I'm really excited to see him and Sapo fight. Unfortunately, after today, I won't get to see the fight that I had been wanting to see. But, you know, moving forward, I think that Dave will be a great addition to your organization and that you'll love the performances that he puts on.
We're excited about Dave. Heard good things about that young man.
That kid is a beast.
That's what I've heard.
But it seems like you guys have been snatching up LaBlanc. You mentioned it earlier.
We're good at finding. We have great people out there. They see the consistency with the kind of talent that we sign, so they know what we're looking for. So they're not gonna bring us bums, because they know if you're gonna bring us a bum, next time you come to me, I'm gonna ignore you. And the guy you have on the show right now, Jason Ellis, is a guy that for a couple of years, that I respect Jason's opinion. Jason's the one that recommended that we sign David. And when Jason comes to me and says, John, I got somebody for you to look at, because of Jason's track record with me, I'm going to look at the fighter. And that's exactly what happened with David. So Jason, more than anybody, is responsible for that signing. And we have guys like that all over the country, plus we have our tryouts. And when you put that kind of nucleus together, it's a mean. We got a machine, guys, right now, and we're a machine that finds very talented fighters.
John, and us here at the Rogue Show are glad that you respect Jason's opinion, because that takes a lot of weight and pressure off our shoulders from having to act like we do.
I know you guys were having to work real hard at that, so I figured I'd come in and give you a hand.
Chris is just upset because I told him we need to do the shuffle in the cage the other night.
Hey, John, we know it's late where you're at. We're going to let you get some shout-outs to, you know, events, any social media, man. We'll let you get going. Because you've taken a lot of time tonight for us, and we really appreciate that at the Rogue Show. This is actually one of the calmest shows we've ever had.
Well, you know, guys, I always appreciate the opportunity to get out there and talk on shows such as yours. I know you guys are doing a good job. I've heard it. I've heard it from Jason, who was one in particular. I know you guys like to speak your mind. They say, well, that sounds like a show for me. You know, without people like you out there and reporting the news and saying what's going on, you know, we wouldn't be where we are right now, the XFC, and we wouldn't have the opportunities we do. So we appreciate you, and thank you for what you do.
Hey, we appreciate the kind words, John, and I just wanted to let you know I think you handled this extremely well today, and I look forward to the big things to come from XFC here on June 14th and then as we progress throughout the year.
I appreciate it. I appreciate that very much. It wasn't an easy day for me, that's for sure.
How many scotches did you have today?
I didn't have any. I looked at the bottle quite a few times, but I never got started because I was afraid it was those, you know, one's too many because 12's not enough, you know? So I never got started.
That's what it's all about.
You know, maybe
well,
one
John,
day it's a good time to go sit on the back patio.
Yeah,
you know,
then I could have drank my ass off, and then
cigar.
I could have. That's all right. I could have drank my ass off, and then I could have called Jason all hours of the night, because that's what that motherfucker does to me all the time.
That's exactly it, man. At least he's consistent in this crazy behavior of his, though.
John, you should do like we did. We all have a custom ringtone that says Team High Crotch is calling. That way we know it's Jason.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, it was Jason's persistence is the reason why I work with him. I've never seen anyone as persistent as Jason. When he started the relationship with me, I mean, he wouldn't give up. This guy kept coming. And I love that in somebody who has that kind of that tenacity. And when I saw that, I reached the point where I said, I got to figure out how to work with this guy because I want him on my side. He can be such a pain in the ass. I want him to be my pain in the ass. And Jason has been great, you know, where I can call Jason. He's a resource for us. There's no doubt about it. And if you're a fighter out there listening and you hear this and you don't reach out to Jason Ellis, there's something wrong with you. You're in the wrong sport. Start wearing your headgear when you spar because guys like Jason have figured out how to get close to certain promotions by being very smart in how they do their business. And those are the guys that we like to be close to. They make our job a lot easier.
Does that mean we will have your vote at the Florida MMA Awards for Manager of the Year?
Yeah, I voted for Jason last time. I helped promote it for him, and because I believed in it. Jason had done did a lot of, you know, Jason places as many fighters on our TV side as any manager out there in the industry. That's pretty impressive for a guy that came out of the box last year.
Straight up. You guys heard it here, man. Relentless Sports Management, a big endorsement, you know, from the XFC. What could you ask for more, folks?
That's all right. I expect it in small bills tomorrow.
That's right. And, John, we'll let you go because it's time to release the strippers and get a little crazy late-night MMA talk because there's a bunch of stuff that went down today.
I got one question in Lepaki style we need to ask John.
Oh,
do you think it's
it.
Right to smack the stripper on the ass if you're in the strip club?
Absolutely, bro. Especially if you got a couple of bills out there. You got the right to go do that. And I haven't done
about.
It in the past.
That's what I'm talking about.
And guys, I just said, you know, before I hop off, I want to say it was a rough day today, and I want people to know that I have no animosity towards Nick Newell or his management. I'm hoping Nick does what he needs to do in this sport, in his career, to reach what his dreams are, just like the other fighters that fight for us. I want them all to have the opportunity to reach their dreams. And Nick has done an amazing thing up to now, and I hope he continues. Wasn't happy with what happened, but I'm just going to have to be a big boy, lick the wounds, and move forward. So I just want people to be aware of that. I don't want people to think that I hate this kid because this kid's done too much to go out there and impact people's lives, and I dig that. So
wow, man, you're a class act, man. Thank you for coming on.
Guys, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it, and I look forward to being on in the future.
Oh,
we'll talk
for sure.
Take care, guys. All right, have a good night. Bye-bye.
Okay, anybody out there who doesn't say that the XFC is not handling this with class, go fuck yourself. These guys have done it right.
No. You got it all wrong, Skippy. You got it all wrong, bro. Don't go fuck yourself. Go fuck your dog and mother, you pile of shit.
No. You all got it wrong, bro. You know what they need to do? Go get their fucking shine box.
Oh.
Hey, we need one of those, like, sound effects, like when you hit the, like, ching, you know, at the end of one-liners, man. Yeah,
well, you're on the board,
cool.
Dude.
I'm about to be on the floor.
Yeah, I don't really see how anybody can think that John Briscoe is not a class act, man. I think Chris hit it on the head right there when he told him that. I mean, not a negative word out of his mouth about the kid. I've said a lot worse, and I'm not even the damn promoter that he fucked over today.
Hey, by the way, I would like to start off by apologizing to Clinch from Clinch Cuts the Mouth Guard. I just saw that. Welcome to the show, brother. I'm such an asshole.
No.
If you want to make a mouth guard that says asshole, I'll be more than happy to wear it.
I was gonna rub yours on mine instead, but no.
Hey,
and I'm
that comic, you're out of the fucking tournament, Grandpa.
You what? Oh, don't even go there, motherfucker. I'll beat you all down.
I want everybody right now to look at this. Look at this beautiful. Oh, just Lepaki on me. Lepaki, look at that beautiful thing. Is that going home with you? He's shaking his head no. I guess he believes that it's between Bruce Pritchard
no,
and...
No, dude, I'm hitting the bait pen. I'm hitting the bait pen, asshole. I'm not shaking my head no. I'm shaking. I'm having fucking vaporizer shakes right now, bro. It's kind of like epileptic seizure there. That hit was so big.
Well, Lepaki is calling for him and Bruce Richards in the final of the tournament.
Oh, please. Well, there's fucking 3 days of Tai Chi dancing in the park. He's going to do something?
You've got it all wrong, bro. You've got it
he
all
might be
wrong,
able to reach
man.
Stuff off the top shelf with 5 days, whatever the fuck it is.
No, man, it's not even that, bro. It's my cardio, bro. I'm going to hit you upside the head with a kettlebell and just keep on moving.
Fuck your cardio. It won't even matter. It ain't going to take that long. You won't need cardio.
Dude, straight up, dude, I don't need cardio. Everybody knows I smoke when I fight. I'm a fucking Ricardo
You're fighting to not gag on the dick in your mouth.
Oh, that's fucked up. That's fucked up, Lepaki. But, folks, I would like to openly admit, even if I did want to choke on a dick, at least I have a home to take him to. I don't have to worry about mom and dad.
Okay. No, you just got to worry about
46 mom. Years old, folks, and he still lives at home. 46.
Yeah.
He is in his 14th year of college. What is wrong with that,
14th.
Folks? He's in a
dude,
four-year
I'm on my
school.
Third doctorate. I'm on my third doctorate, bro.
What's his name?
Dr. Pepper.
I wish. I'm not a big Dr. Pepper fan. That shit, it kind of gives me some fucking acid reflux.
I bet he does.
Don't swallow.
Okay, MMA, fuck it. Let's quit all the bullshit. I got to tell you what. Big shout out to Kip Ramos, dude, Madhouse fighter over at Showdown Fights tonight. This kid was a fucking war, and I believe early in the third he got his orbital socket broken. Something was wrong. He was really scared to get hit on that side of the head most of that round, and it cost him the fight, I believe. It was 1-1 going into that, but what a fucking war. Kip, mad love to you, bro. You are a fucking beast, man. And for all you guys, go fight live. You guys go on the account and check it out, man.
Well, let's just give the real shout-out out right now. And Anthony Burchak just put the beating on old Benoit.
Great fight.
It was a great fight, wasn't it? I thought it
right off the bat, a big slam. I mean, and just that whole night of fights was great, man. From beginning to end.
Now, Jeff, you're the house referee. What the fuck is the deal with the corner going halfway across the ring and picking a guy up off the mat between rounds?
I don't know. It must be like the exchange rate or something. I don't know because, you can't do that. You got to get up on their own. So
would you have called that fight at that point? Would you have said he's not responding by getting up and going to the corner?
No, I would warn him not to do it again. The fighter's got to get up on his own. Then you can, you know, whatever, grab a hold of him and talk to him, but can't carry him back to the corner. So I'd warn him. I'd warn him, then I'd warn him and take a point, or then I'd take a point away, and then I'd disqualify him. So it would take 3 times of being a jackass before you got actually disqualified.
See, it was really weird because to start the second round, Benoit, like, kind of didn't really want to come out. He was hunkered over across the top rope. The referee asked him, like, 3 times, I think, do you want to fight? Do you want to fight? Do you want to fight? I mean, he had his head resting on his corner's fucking armpit there in between the second and third round, if I remember right. I mean, I don't know how the kid put up that much of a fight, because in between rounds, you'd have thought he was fucking on his last breath.
I thought the ref was going to call it, dude, when he was laying there in that choke. I mean, 5 more seconds, it would have been over anyway, but that kid looked like he was just beat right there. I mean, like, and I swear he got an extra 20 seconds on the clock in between the rounds.
Oh, yeah. And at the restart. And at the restart, when they were outside the ropes, he kind of lollygagged getting around. And
yeah, what did the ref say? Turn around
if
you want to fight?
I thought he was supposed to be an outside of the ropes, honestly. I think if the ropes weren't there, night-night. I think Burchak had him.
Saved him. The ropes.
Yeah, the ropes. Sure.
Hey, I got the $1 million question. Here's the $1 million question to you and all the fans listening tonight, because it was posted. Let's see what people fucking think. Daniel Swain, Anthony Burchak, who wins that fight?
Wow.
Anybody?
Let's say,
first of all, Lopati, I see you're taking care of business. But does anybody believe, first of all, that Burchak can contain 135 consistently and be as dominant there as he is at 145?
Burchak? Burchak's a natural 135er now, dude.
No, Swain.
Swain.
I'm sorry.
I've never seen Swain make 135. So until I see him
you're
make 135, I'm not going to believe that he can.
Oh, come on now. He's got some big things coming. I'm pretty sure he's going to make it. I can't. He's a fucking athlete. He's been doing this shit all his life. He'll make weight. It might suck ass, but he'll make it. He's a really disciplined guy. So as much as I don't really care for him, he's a really disciplined guy. I'm sure he'll make weight. I'm sure he'll kick ass. But I don't know if it's – I don't think it's a very natural weight, and I think that Burchak would be a handful at that weight. I think at 45, Daniel's too much for Burchak. At 35, maybe it's the other way around.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good fight, but it'll never happen, at least not for a couple of years.
Never.
I mean, depending on, I guess, well, actually, I don't want to say that. I guess it depends on how Daniel does in, should I just say it?
Who cares? I think not like the whole world don't know it.
Fucking in the ultimate fighter, I mean, you know. I mean, if he is successful at 135, you know, and at the ultimate fighter and not coming on season 18, then, we'll never see that fight until Anthony makes the transition. And I think he still has 3 more fights with Mark. Skippy, it's okay to not. Yeah. 2 or 3 more.
I'm just sitting here listening to what you said. I think it's interesting. I mean, when you start to think about Dana Swain being in the house, possibly, you know, the competition.
Possibly he is
level.
In the house.
Well, not anymore. They actually just kicked him off the show because it was split out. Somewhere on the radio that he was on the show. So
hey, anybody at the UFC listening? Anybody at the UFC listening? Fuck Zuffa. I'm going to tell everybody, go to Nevada Athletic State Commission's website to look at suspension list if you want to know how shit rolls. You fucking zombie motherfuckers. But
no, calm down.
Do you guys truly believe Swain can beat the other competition in the house?
Yes.
What do you think about
everybody.
Swain? Let's just talk about guys that we know. Swain and Hempelman.
Swain.
And there's a suit.
Is there a Matt Muncy on that list that you guys have?
A what?
Matt Muncy.
I don't. That name doesn't sound familiar to me, but that doesn't mean he's not on it. I know that. I know more of the females that are on it than I do the males, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because that was a lot
I
easier
think
to figure out.
I know LC Davis got cut the last 24, which sucks because he should be on the show for sure. Just saying.
Is he old?
No.
Does he drink?
No, because there was females, so I think they only took the final 16. Right?
Does he drink?
Do what?
Does he drink?
No, hell no.
Well, then, fuck no, he's not going to be on the show. You got to be a crazy, drunk, fucking young lunatic to get on the show.
Well, I mean,
this one's only
16. Hell, he's a drunk, by any means.
They only want the Jeannie Brownings at MMA.
They only want Jeannie Brownings these days, huh?
Now, let me ask you guys, what do you guys think about the fact that they cut and put the fights up in a different order than they really go down to make it look like one guy is either being more dominant or one guy is maybe more scared than another? You guys think that's bullshit, that they don't fucking air the fights in the row they happen?
It's TV, so they got to make it TV. You know, I thought maybe this season was the most genuine, but you never know. I mean, I don't know. I thought this season was the most genuine season, though, honestly. I thought it was a pretty good season.
I didn't even watch it.
Well, I watched it because my homie Zach Cummings was on it, so. You know, when you got a local fighter on there, I watched
it because my homie Josh Salmon was on there. Came out of the XFC as well before talking about giving people opportunities. He was with the XFC before he got picked up for the show.
Was he a title holder there?
No, he was not. Yes,
they portrayed him in a horrible light. I'm assuming they portrayed him in a pretty wrong light because he came across as a fucking douche nozzle.
Yeah, he's not that bad in person.
I mean, and we know that they do that. I mean, you know, there's the people
they
that film that, like, they try to. I mean, they there's like certain guys. Like, I mean, I don't think that they really stretched it too far with that guy that had the pink mohawk, Bang Bro or whatever. Like, I don't think they really had to like, you know, frame him in any way. He was more than willing. He was more than willing to do that on his own.
You talking about Julian Bang?
Yeah, Nitro or whatever, Nitrane. Like he's some fucking Hall of Fame fucking safety for the Steelers. Get the fuck out of here. You can't. That's like that fucking dumbass rapper that tries to call himself Rick Ross, like he was some kind of fucking world renowned drug runner when he was a fucking corrections cop douchebag. Fuck faggot that steals somebody's fucking name.
That dude sounds like he's taking a dookie all the time. He's all, ugh. That dude's taking pants. That dude has some shitty pants. You know that shit.
All right, so hey man, this is the show. We're kind of going way off what our original intention of tonight was. Tonight we are filleting douchebags, losers. Chris, I thought you were gonna maybe drop your first come on ref segment.
Come on ref. Come on.
My nominee for this week's come on ref is Jeremy Sanders in Washington. What was the fight? Someone tell me the two guys that fought.
Back of the head and the front of the fist. That
yeah,
fight.
I know. I just need to know the guy's name. Eddie Ellis's.
That's
guy.
What I call
That's
it.
What we'll call
I
him.
Just tell everybody.
We'll call him Eddie Ellis. The referee is, like, directly standing there, like, 3 feet from the action. Jeremy Saunders or whatever. He's a referee in Washington. And this dude, like, rains down 8 punches to the back of the guy's head, like, straight to the back of the dude's head. Like, I mean, there's no, like, even variation to, like, it was right on the line, the spinal line of the back of the head. And he mixes in 2 punches to the face, and the referee steps in to make a TKO. Like, come on, bro. You can't be standing there, like, right, you know, watching the action. Like, I can understand if maybe you're on the backside and you couldn't tell. But when you're staring it down, like, you got to have me sitting there going, come on, ref.
If it was the same one I'm talking about, we're talking 8 consecutive hits to the back of the head. It was it was unbelievable. I mean, it's like
Could it be a possibility, folks, that kid was dating the ref's daughter?
No.
Okay, just just checking. Maybe he was like, hey, dude, I saw you grab my girl's tit. I'm gonna let this guy bounce in the back of the head a few times. That would be a cool story, though. You ref steps out of the ring, he's like, that dude just got fucked up. It's because he's fucking my daughter.
Yo, I'm gonna tell this story straight up. I don't care. I'm at an event, right? The dude starts some shit, right? The referee fucking thumbs the dude right in the neck and knocks this motherfucker out, right? I mean,
what?
It was the
Hold on, what now?
Yeah, the dude started some shit at Show Fight, right? And the referee, Chris McDaniel, you know, he's standing there. You know, there's some shit getting started. Somebody gets touched. Chris McDaniel just, boom, touches him on the neck with his thumb. I mean, it was the quickest shit I've ever seen. And dude, lights out, bro. Chris the Crazy Man McDaniel put that dude to sleep with a thumb. No doubt. They drug him out back, you know, made sure he was all right, made sure he woke up, you know. But, I mean, the dude was trying to, you know, get at some people and start some shit, and he got, you know, he got put down, put out, taken care of. It was a great story.
Who hit the thumb to the throat?
Chris McDaniel hit somebody starting shit in the audience. In the crowd with a boom, just a thumb to the throat, boom, knocked him out, man. Put him to sleep.
Was it at before or after his fight?
I think it was in between fights. In between fights.
Was he fighting? Was he fighting?
No, he's the referee.
Wow, yeah, that definitely deserves a, come on, ref.
No, that deserves a hell yeah, ref.
No, Chris, what deserves a hell yeah is when Jonathan Nutt was announcing a fight, and 10 minutes before the main event, the guy warming up had done something to his hand and could not fight. The medical staff said, you've injured yourself, you're not going to be able to fight. So he got wrapped up and fought. That's a hell yeah. If a commentator steps up to fight the main event, that's fucking cool.
That's the hell yeah,
but I'll
right.
tell you what, fuck all the celebrating. We're talking about shit that we either disagree with, people are jackasses, fucking dumbasses.
So hold on,
whatever,
so what does everybody think? So is Jeremy Saunders our first recipient of the Come On Ref Award?
Yeah. I think the award should be Get Your Unemployment Check Award.
Yeah, he's right up there with that guy that I had to go off on last year at Tachi Palace. I'm going to think of that guy's fucking name. I might even go off on another rant about that fucking guy. He almost killed like three people in one night.
But we got to clarify on this. Come on, ref, the unemployment line shit. No way in shape or form can we nominate Kim Winslow every single fucking week.
No.
Yeah, no, we can't do that.
He's automatically on there every week, so it doesn't even matter.
Exactly.
Dude, no. Maybe we should call it the Kim Winslow Come On Ref Award.
That's easy. Wow.
Here's the funniest thing for me from fucking tonight, dude. Josh Rosenthal is still refereeing fights.
Dude, yes. Yeah, did you hear them chanting Free Rosenthal?
Yeah.
Dude, the commentators are like, Free Rosenthal. I'm like, dude, you guys are in the middle of a fucking MMA event, fucking chanting Free Rosenthal. That's fucking classic. Now, my dumbass, fool, jackhole, fucking schmuck, fucking thing of the week is a good friend and somebody I respect as a fighter who is wasting an opportunity like no other and pissing away, I think, a good portion of his career right now, and that's Shorty Weigel. The kid is down there working in Arizona. I offered to set him up at some gyms in the town he's at to call some people on his behalf. And what does he do? He is drinking so excessively and partying so hard while he's down there. This is a perfect opportunity for him. He's out of town. He can work all day, train in the evenings, you know, keep quiet, keep to himself, you know, help progress his career, open some doors. And I'll tell you what, I think it's bullshit. I think he needs, you know, make a choice if he really wants to be a fighter or if he just wants to keep living life and partying, because I see talent getting pissed the fucking way and it sucks. I think this kid, if he would have focused more, you know, and I'm not saying that, you know, he didn't have an injury and didn't step back, but, I mean, this has been a long time coming, folks, anybody who follows him. So he gets my Fool of the Week award.
But I want to eat it, but...
What are you wanting to eat?
Dude, are you watching porno?
Apple. No, not this time. My wife just brought me an apple.
Dude,
hey. And smiled at me and I said, I want to eat it.
He's like, hey, I'm the fucking
Is that like
man.
An apple from like the Pulp Fiction with when Bing Rames had an apple too or what?
Yeah, she's got some handcuffs and she told me to put this in my mouth. I don't know what that means.
You're about to get a nightstick.
Oh, I got a second apple. Sweet.
Hey, Jeff, how do you spell Jeremy Saunders' name? Is that S-A-U-N-D-E-R-S?
I don't want anything to do with that.
What do you mean you don't want anything to do with it, man? It's part of your, man, come on, step up to the plate.
Fucking, you know, we ref together, man. I don't want to dog him out.
You're not dogging him out. It's a fact, dude. You can't deny the facts. The guy let 8 consecutive shots go to the back of the head and then called the fucking TKO.
Yeah, but there's 20 other refs that fucked up that night that I would rather point out than the guy that I work with. Play all your chicken shit you want. I just don't feel like that. I can't do it.
Hey, dude.
Let's make fun of Hamlet or something.
Yeah, but I can't make fun of Hamlet because Hamlet does his fucking job.
That's
what
right.
Mean? He's a ref without a license.
That's not
on,
his
ref.
Fault. That's the state's fault. Let's be
and
honest.
He's still better than
a
license.
Who the
ref.
Fuck are you? You're not
better
defend
than a
you don't defend him.
Hey, listen. Hey, no. Let's shut the fuck up because it's not
hell.
His fault. Look, how come they allowed other refs to ref without a fucking license since February? Don't blame this on Hamlet because you're jealous of his manness. Okay? I understand an ego trip when I see one, buddy.
Man.
And I'm going to tell you right now, he has all the right to go head-on against the state because he will be victorious. I stand behind Hamlet as the Pied Piper weighs against the evil establishment. Do not blame that innocent lamb.
God
Do not blame
America.
That innocent
lamb. Damn straight. What the fuck? Get up and go, Fox
check
Grandpa.
Check your ego at the door before I call Hamlet and have him check you in the mat.
Killing me.
What? Did you just
I didn't know you were all over his
head.
Like
what do you think, you're fucking Beetlejuice?
Hey, stop pumping Hamlet's leg. He don't like that.
Hey,
you know, now, though, we did have there was some other shady shit that went down this week, but let's get into that in the second hour. You know, I want to really find out. How much is Anthony Hamlet paying you this week, Skippy, and why aren't you sharing that money with the rest of your brothers here in the Four Horsemen?
First of all, let me explain something. Mr. Anthony Hamlet took the time out of his day to notify Madhouse of the injustice done against this guy who is doing nothing more than trying to show love and dedication to a sport so many cruelly justify and crucify. So get off his ass, dipshit.
What the fuck?
Here's an off-topic about something that y'all talk about. I want to crucify a little bit. Hold on.
Let me pay a bill, and let's play a commercial break, and we're going to bring that up first when we come back. So, speaking of Hamlet, here's his favorite mouth guard.
You don't wear a mouth guard.
You're about to unleash the psycho.
Hey, listen up. If you're in contact sports, the American Dental Association recommends that mouth guards be worn during all heavy contact sports. So do what MMA Meltdown does and contact the best in the biz, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards fabricates custom mouth guards for all professional and amateur sports, mixed martial arts, boxing, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, basketball, football, lacrosse, hockey, as well as many other sports. These mouth guards are for any sport where any form of contact may occur. Get your custom mouth guard today at GetClinch.com. Again, that's GetClinch.com for all of your mouth guard needs.
We'll be right back.
I'd like to thank all my big sponsors, Clinch Custom Mouthguard, GetClinch.com, Vision Smoke Shop and Glass Distribution at VisionSmoke.com. Also, Ink Tank Tattoo, you can find them on Facebook and Twitter. And also, one of my favorite places to get trashed, eat, work, everything in between. That's Clock Tower Pub, number one sports bar in Oregon. And before we jump back, everybody out there, Team Quest is doing a contest. It's wear your singlet day to work day, and the winner with the best picture at work wearing a wrestler singlet will win the autographed Matt Lindland Olympic singlet that he wore in the Olympics. Pretty fucking cool gift for anybody who's a fan for sure. So, Jason, what the fuck were you going to drop?
I was going to say this. How many of y'all saw the New York Post article about Fallon Todd
that posted today or the last 24 hours? The thing that I find amusing about it is that, you know, recently I was talking to somebody that apparently her opponent, Alana Jones, is training with some of her former partners. And, you know, Fallon said she's never done martial arts until she had the post-op, you know, the surgery procedure and all that. She wrestled in high school as a man and competed in several jiu-jitsu tournaments when she was still a man. Just curious
wow.
what your thoughts were about that. Like, a lot of her opponent's training with some of them right now, or it just was, wherever she was.
Well,
some of her former, like, competitors they competed against Fallon when Fallon was a man.
You can't just lop off your cock and decide you're going to fight girls, man. It's just, that's my personal opinion on it, and that's a quote from Dallas Browning. And I'm just going to stick to that, because I think it's bullshit. I think it's bullshit.
I would like to for the fans out there, I want to give a shout out to Max Rogers. His comment just now was, "Beat that dickless truck driver up." Oh, that's fucked up, bro. Wow. I got bombarded. You guys all know Trey was visiting the state facility vacation home, and he hit me up tonight. He's like, "What the hell is this silent bomb?" Look, I'll tell you guys right now, MMA Madhouse is an official sponsor of Alana Jones. We're very proud to be her sponsor, and I hope she goes in there, period, and wins and continues to win in her career, period. As the deal for Fallon, my personal opinion, you guys all know it. There's just no room for her right now, whatever you want to call it. There's just no room in either division, male or female. There's just no room right now for people like that. It sucks. There's no room in society
for
Mexican Jews like me, but we figure out a way to make it work.
She's a her. I mean, you know, you have to call her a her. I mean, she's
yeah.
what she is.
That's
but
fair.
It's just unfortunate.
And I don't dispute
it's just,
that
it's
she
just
doesn't have the right to live.
No, yeah, but it's just that, you know, you can't compete. I mean, come on. You just can't. Like, that's, you know, that's the thing. Do I tip my hat off to Alana Jones? Hell yeah. I mean, you're the only one that really is willing to get in there with this chick and throw down. Best of luck. Do I think it's a good idea? Not really at all. I don't think it's a good idea to... I think that there's just a physical gap between Fallon and the women that she's going to fight is just... It's just too great. There's just nothing that anybody can do.
Do you think that, my question is, do you think PFA is using that, you know, is using Phelan's box for that proof? Actually, you know, it's pretty obvious they are.
Yeah, I mean, thanks for answering your own question, because I didn't really want to have to answer that for you.
I know.
Hey, okay, Rabaki, let me ask you this. Comes from a fan of one of our regular listeners. She's never had to deal with cramps. Debate that as a female.
I don't know, bro. I've never had to deal with that shit. I'm getting yelled at by
Thank
my own
you,
lady.
Young lady, for shutting them up.
No, man. You know, I mean, all guys have had to deal with it. We just don't know what it's like to actually go through it. We just get the fucking brunt end of it, you know? Like, if your girlfriend's on cramps, you're probably getting yelled at and trying to fucking lay pretty low.
Yeah.
I like how you guys all go silent. All you married motherfuckers are like, oh, shit, you're not saying nothing now. He's fucking got us fucking dead to rights. My wife's sitting 3 feet away. I better just shut the fuck up. It's all fun and games when you can try and bust a single of the guy's balls, but then you get yourself backed into a corner. And now what?
We're still busting your balls. Still busting your balls. Still busting your balls.
So, who all saw my boy Muhammad today on Super Fight League drop the fucking elbows?
I'm not going to be as exciting as you. I don't feel like the fight was very exciting before that. I thought it was a pretty lackluster fight. I mean, that dude was huge. He was fighting too, man. They're both big guys, man. But the fights, honestly, the whole SFL card, I wasn't really impressed with it. I thought it was a lot of amateur guys, in my opinion. I thought that was probably maybe the best fight. I don't know, man. It was okay. It was some
extra watch. Chris, if yeah. Jason could get you a fight as a pro in Super Fight League, would you take it?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Fuck yeah.
Can I be your corner?
Let me clarify. Something that you find is subpar, you would take a paycheck to go fight at. So what does that tell us about your opinion?
Wait. I want to get paid up front because I know they fucking try to jip American fighters right off the bat. So I want
to
make sure.
Dude, because Charmaine Sweet didn't know how to wait for her manager to cut a check. Let's be fucking honest.
Don't get
started
on Charmaine Sweet, bro.
Yeah, look, that's one fuck. Hey, don't get me fucking started, because I find it fucking bullshit that she takes the fucking time to sign a fight with Amanda Bell, and a week later she's shitting on Bell talking about she's calling out Cyborg after she wins the title in Germany because she'll be number two in the world. Why the fuck would you look past not only Amanda Bell, but your title fight? That's disrespectful to me. That's disrespectful. I understand you signed a fight for a title, okay? But you signed to fight Amanda. Deal with that fight first. Deal with your title fight second. Then call out Cyborg if you're in the fucking position to do it. But don't call out Amanda Bell, say she's a chump, and then you want to fight Cyborg because Amanda Bell's just a stepping stone. That's bullshit.
And on June 1st, she's going to learn the fucking hard way.
I guarantee
she's
going to
fucking learn the hard way.
Oh yeah, dude. Come on. Let's be honest. I'm not trying to be real rude here, but Charmaine Tweet is overrated.
Dude, I don't think you can say that at all because if you go on, I think that Charmaine's efficiency is something that John Prisco touched on earlier tonight, and that's in grappling, and that if you're a superior grappler, you might have some success against her. But if you get in a stand-up exchange with Charmaine Tweet, there's not a lot of women on the planet that have her accolades. I don't give a fuck what you think about her in the cage. If you go look at her Muay Thai and her kickboxing records and shit, dude, she's bad to the fucking bone, bro. She probably
okay,
seems
well.
But you know what, though? This is mixed martial arts. This isn't kickboxing or Muay Thai, bro.
Hey. You're right, it's not. But and I'll tell you this, and I'm not going to be disrespectful here. I'm not trying to be disrespectful here either. But Amanda doesn't have the technical striking. Amanda doesn't have the technical striking to sit there and stand in the pocket with Charmaine.
I'm a fan.
I'm agreeing with that. Look, my point is not has anything to do with either one of their talent levels. My thing comes down to she has a pedigree as a professional champion in another sport. She should have more class to both girls that she's fighting. To just push them aside with such disrespect and talk about calling out Cyborg. That's
dude,
my
why,
point.
Man.
It has
we
nothing
let,
to do with their
we
ability.
We let Chael do it. We let Chael do shit like that. She's just trying to fucking
and,
get her
did I
out.
Ever agree with it? Did I ever fucking agree with it? No. Fuck
how
the
can you not? Machine. How can you not? These chicks,
I don't
these people
fucking
are trying
care.
To get paid, man. These people are trying to get paid, bro.
I understand that, but there's a level of respect you should have for your opponent.
I think that a lot is being inferred on what Charmaine did as to her not respecting Amanda. I don't think that somebody that's accomplished the things in any martial art that Charmaine has, that she doesn't respect her opponent. She's just, you know, dude, these people trying to get their name in the mix, dude. It ain't, you know, a long career. Jason could tell you that. Not a long
true.
Career.
It seems like nowadays more people get more recognition talking shit or something they say in a press release than they do actually for their actual physical abilities and performances in the cage.
And that's the direct result of social media, you know? I mean, with the ability to reach so many people and promote yourself without having to pay somebody to do it and rely on, like, you know, what was going on when we were watching, you know. Just imagine, dude, if social media would have been around in the 80s when, like, boxing was just going berserker. Do you think MMA would have ever stood a chance? No, dude, look at some of those personalities that were back then, dude. Can you imagine Sugar Ray Leonard on fucking Twitter after him and fucking Marvin Hagler fought? Him and Tommy Hearns? Or Sweet Pea Pernell Whitaker, or, you know, just imagine Mike Tyson on some fucking Twitter back in like 1988 after he knocks out fucking Holmes or whoever, you know, Spinks. I mean, Jesus Christ, dude.
Okay, that motherfucker.
You want to talk shit on the radio show right now?
I'm on the radio show now.
Out on the West Coast, talk shit about him. No, I'm gonna let you talk shit. Hey, Skip. I came up here hoping on a mission that I catch one of the girls leaving the club, and I was going to get a girl to give her input about how she feels about being slapped on the ass. But this clerk at 7-Eleven telling me about these clowns trying to buy beer, alcohol after 2 o'clock, and didn't change. She wanted to talk shit about him, so here's a good time. Here you go.
Hello?
Hey, what's up, young lady? Welcome to the Rogue Show. What do you got to fucking say? You want to bitch about something? Go for it.
I can deal with bullshit every fucking night. Every night. The question changes. The answer changes every night, and it doesn't. I mean, if you come here every day, you should know what the answer is.
What's worse, fucking crackheads or fucking alcoholics?
Me, I work overnight every night. Both. They're kind of the same. One gets aggravated when they come and use the ATM machine all the time, or the other one gets aggravated when they want to pull on the beer doors. So they each get aggravated, and they're kind of the same. Coming from me, that's why I was trying to tell them to find someone else to talk to, because I got a negative attitude towards this place. Straight negative.
Okay, have you ever caught a homeless guy masturbating in the store?
Not yet. I've seen one run naked through here, but not doing that yet. Not yet.
What's the worst thing a homeless guy's done in your bathroom?
Probably put shit all over the walls. But that's the worst thing they've done.
Now, do you leave that for the day crew to clean like you never saw it?
I wish I could. If I didn't have kids, I would. I would. But that's part of my job, too, unfortunately.
Do you guys lock the bathroom and they have to get a key, like, check it out?
No, we don't. We only lock it when we want to play a joke on them. We don't even lock it. We just put out an order so they can leave our bathroom alone. Whenever we get tired of it, we just put out an order.
hey, what kind of a customer is Jason, the guy that handed you the phone?
He's the best customer, actually. We love to pick on him.
What does he typically come in and purchase?
Well, he gets a lot of water, a pack of Newport shorts, and a bunch of snacks. Well, everybody gets a bunch of snacks when they come in.
Are you guys in a good side of town, bad side of town? Where are you guys located?
We're in a, what do you want to call this, good, bad, fair? Yeah.
Fair? So you guys don't have, like, prostitutes hanging out there?
Like a playground, huh?
You guys don't have, like, prostitutes hanging out?
No. No, that's not that bad. I mean, we're across the street from a strip club, but they just come and go.
How many condoms do you sell out of there, being across the street from a strip club?
How many condoms? Probably, like, Well, it depends on what night it is. Like, if it's a Friday, Saturday, it's a good 10, 20 of them go out. And they're all going to the same strippers.
What alcohol do you sell the most? What is the thing? What is the one item that you guys sell the most of with alcohol?
Out of alcohol? Out of alcohol, we sell a lot of Budweiser's, Bud Light.
No Colt 45 or anything?
Actually, we don't even have those no more.
What the fuck, man?
I
used to work at a Texaco on the graveyard shift, man. I used to work the graveyard shift at a Texaco when I was going to college straight out of high school. And I used to drink those St. Ives tropical punches overnight, man. I'd have like two or three of those a night while I was working. And they didn't want me drinking either. But nobody could tell because it just looked like a little Hawaiian punch. You know, you put some ice in a cup, a little plastic, you know, 32-ouncer, pour that thing right on in, and boom, man, just get blasted all night long.
No, they'll be over. No, I see. I can't drink with these people. These people make you angry. I don't want to drink and get angry with these people because I'm Spanish. I'll get really angry. They don't really like me too much out here.
Are you married or have a boyfriend, and are they concerned about you working the graveyard?
I'm not married, but I'm talking to someone, and he knows I can handle myself somewhere.
Look at that. She played it off because she's like Jason standing here. She almost said boyfriend, huh? You're like, fuck,
yeah,
dude, I want to hit that shit. It's cool.
He knows I got a man.
But the question is, do you truly love him?
So when Jason
would
comes
be willing
in,
to
he just already grab. Do you grab the Newports before he even gets to the counter?
No, I actually ask him when he walks in. I yell it at him and say, cigarette? And he says, yeah. Well, all right, honey, thank you for letting me talk my mind. But most likely
hey,
you
anytime.
Guys...
Give a shout-out. Give some shout-outs to anybody you want to give shout-outs to.
Well, I'll give
yeah,
a shout-out to my cousin that I'm working tonight. And he's, today's his birthday, to Angel Santano.
And where do you work at?
All my family. Huh?
Where do you work at?
7-Eleven on A1A.
Nice. I
love
the A1A.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
You too, young lady. Okay, somebody else go to a gas station in the town they're at right now. Let's see if we can find another gas station attendant across from a strip club.
Bro, I'm determined to get one of these strippers coming out of the club.
Dude, you got to lie to him. You got to be like, look, dude, I'm in a contest on a radio show, and talk into the phone when you're doing this so that we can, you know, be like, dude, I'm about to win fucking a brand new Miata.
I'm about to get a Hummer. And then you can put them on the radio and then see if they'll give you a Hummer.
No, dude, we got to... Look, if we got
to
fuck with them.
Big girl to fucking, so we can get an actual opinion from a girl how they feel about being slapped on the ass.
And if they should, and if the customer should be allowed to slap them on the ass.
No. Jason, you got to just say, listen, I'm live on a radio show. We're doing an interview with strippers. Can we talk to you, please? And then just, if they say yes, hand them the phone, and we can take over from there.
Fair enough. Just make sure you don't say nothing bad enough where she throws my phone, dude.
Yeah, no, dude, we're not going to be like, you were picked.
I can't have her throw my phone and break my shit.
Jason, I'm not going to be like, ma'am, you were picked by our reporter out there as the one he thought was the dirtiest, and I would like to know what makes him think you're so nasty.
What now?
Never mind. I just fucked with you, brother. We're not going to be rude or degrading to her at first.
It's not. I guess the key policy of the Autobox to say that your phone, the iPhones are unbreakable in them. If a bitch does sell my phone,
oh,
we'll find out if it's...
A stripper threw my phone. It needs to get fixed.
What the hell, Skippy? All right, so hey, man, what other scumbags do we have to talk about from this week? It was a big week for scumbags.
We were talking about coaches that promote their own shows.
Yeah.
Ooh, some
and
people
that
got
should be allowed
on that one.
Should you be allowed to do that? I mean, what does everybody think?
Listen. I mean. Look, I've seen a lot of coaches that, or not even coaches, actually managers that manage fighters that have their own shows. And in my opinion, I think that some of them are smart because they're building their fighters. Now, there's a point where you build your fighter until, you know, it's time for them to step up in competition. Joe Worcester, Kansas City Fighting Alliance, is one of the best guys that does that. He brings the fighters up, you know what I'm saying, and then, you know, he as they get better, he progresses their competition. And then I've seen other shitheads that, you know, you've got a guy with a 10-2 record fighting a guy that's 2-1. Or, you know, just because you guys got a beef with them, it's like bullshit. Come on, man. These guys that are 10-1 deserve it. If you're supposed to be their coach, they deserve to fight tough fighters. They need to fight tough fighters. They're going to end up going pro and get their asses whooped. Unless you have a pro show, these amateurs that are getting fucking fed, it's bullshit, you know? And I'm sure you guys are dealing with pros, too. They just get fed fights. It gets old, man. That's not what this sport's all about, and in my eyes, it's a fucking sham. And it's bad at the sport, and I'm starting to recognize it more and more. And, you know, I'm just not going to support those shows, man. That's just how I'm going to have to do it, and that's just the way I am, man.
I like it. I just think it's really, you know, depending on how it's done, and, you know, and we all know, you know, I know some guys that do this kind of got a little upset today and felt like, you know, that they were, you know, whatever. But they, you know, it happens, and we think it does happen. But, I mean, then we also see, though, guys that not only are they the coach, then they're matchmaking, but now we find them in the corner, cornering their guy during the fight.
Yeah, I think that's very unprofessional, you know? I mean, if you're a promoter, you're a promoter. You're not there to corner your guys. I don't know, man. It's just, it's not something I like.
Well, and then you got to wonder, you know, like if the fight goes to a decision, is the fact that you're the guy cutting the check to the judge going to help sway his decision?
Well, you know, in my opinion, I think judges are, you know, they start to build that likability with fighters. You know, they start to build that relationship with fighters. And I don't know, man. I think if a fight's close, they're going to go with the you know, the hometown guy, the guy they see most, the guy they know, man, and I've seen it a lot. And it's bullshit. What is going on over there?
I think Jason's
trying to get strippers. He's working on getting the stripper to come on the show.
I'm working on it, bro. They haven't showed up yet.
I'm working on it, too, right now, dude. I'm trying to get a hold of the owner of a strip club so we can talk to some of her girls.
See, I think though, Chris, it's inevitable that, you know, a judge or a referee, they're going to get to know a majority of the fighters, not just the local guys. I mean, most judges travel around and do the gig at a plethora of shows. And it's inevitable, it's impossible for them to not develop a relationship with the fighters. They're going to spend, you know, if you're spending one weekend a month with this guy, I mean, over the course of a year or two, you're going to know him. I mean, you know, it's not like you're going to be best buddies, you know, but you are going to know the guy and you're going to have a relationship with him. I don't think there's any way around that. It's just that they need to remember to, you know, to just try and remain as biased as possible when they're in the
question.
Ask you a
question,
see,
like, if you're willing to do it. Well, I'm on the phone right now with a radio show called The Rogue Show, and right now they're doing a thing. There's been a month-long debate. Whether or not girls like, I'm assuming you're coming from work. If girls like to be smashing their ass in that world, they just want to know if you want to see that question.
Girls being a stripper, that would have been awesome.
Hold on, who? She said depends on who, but she wants to go to bed. So, out of luck on that one.
Hey,
dude,
don't go into detail.
Did she want to do that with you?
Jason, don't go into detail.
I'm going to see RJ, because my boy RJ just walked in with a girl. Maybe she can help me. He can help me.
Hey, Jason, don't go into detail.
I'm going to bring you the craziest chick from Satellite Beach that's a bartender. That's your opinion, bro. She will answer it and tell how it is.
Don't go into detail, though. Just tell him that you're with the Rogue Show and we would like to talk to him live on the air. Keep it simple.
I'm live on the radio right now with the Rogue Show, the MMA show out the West Coast. There's been a debate going on for the last month about whether or not women that work in strip clubs like to have their ass smacked. Can you?
do like have their ass smacked and they like dollar bills.
No, I don't want to.
So would you? So do you have certain girls who allow?
She just handed the phone back to me. She doesn't want to do it.
See, Jason, you got to keep it. You got to keep it simple and say that you're on the Rogue Show. You work for the Rogue Show. We're live on the air. Can we talk to you and let us talk
Angela,
to them and get them talking
for a couple minutes? Well, you're 15 up. It will only take you. You're 15 up. Come on.
Don't beat up
well,
a stripper for the
show. Before you know that. A bottle
of this.
You don't remember? Come on. Well, you're heating your food up. Can you do this for me?
I've never asked
you to do
anything. He's in the back of the house at the strip club, folks.
Nice to hello. What?
So, hello. Curiosity. Hello, how you doing? Welcome to the Rogue Show. You're live coast to coast. We are curious. Do girls allow guys for extra money to smack them on the ass?
I would have to say yes.
Now, is it determined by the amount of money, or is it determined by how maybe intoxicated they are?
I would say determined by how sweaty they are.
Oh, that's the fucking answer we wanted.
Yeah.
Okay, what's your name, young lady?
What?
What's your name, young lady?
Angela.
Angela,
where do you work at?
Well,
what?
Where are you a bartender at?
In Satellite Beach. I'm really drunk right now.
Fucking love it.
I'm at 7-Eleven getting a burrito. I don't know what I'm doing.
What
are
you making
like
in the microwave?
On the butt. I don't know. Dollar or not, I'll take it. I mean, I like being slapped on the butt.
What are you heating up in the microwave right now?
A burrito.
Is it a bomb burrito?
It's a grande.
Nice.
Like a big. Right. I sound like a whore. Give me another song.
I felt like a whore. Give me another song.
I love you. Tell me that wasn't money, guys. Straight from the fucking mean streets of Satellite Beach.
But Jason, you can't feed them all that information, bro.
The upper white class neighborhood.
Oh, tell your brother to call me. How's he doing?
He's
getting out of
divorce. Dude, Jason, you're listening for shit. I'm going to mute his ass.
What happened?
Dude, when you talk to these people, don't go into detail, bro. Just say you're on the Rogue
bro,
Show. Would you like to talk to these people?
I got a girl on the air to talk about it. I'm going home now.
Go for it.
Dude, she said that the bartender said that she might go slap her on the ass.
Yeah.
I got
so, I mean,
a normal girl, not even a stripper, a bartender to talk about this.
Oh, that's bullshit. That's a cop out. We need a stripper.
I'm working on it right now.
She's a stripper
fucking
bartender.
Sister's not answering.
She gets cops. She gets naked in the bar.
Look, if there was a strip club within 30 miles, I'd go right now and I'd get a good interview.
I can be at a strip club in about 5 minutes.
Dude, it would literally take me 30 minutes, bro. No lot.
I'm 6 miles from door to door.
I'm like 44 minutes from a strip club.
He's like, I looked. When I bought my shit, when I got my house, I made sure that it was fucking close. I Google Maps that shit.
Who are you talking about? Who are you talking
distance
about, Chris?
To a strip club. Distance to a strip club.
Oh, yeah. Who are you talking about, Lepaki or me or Jason or Clinch?
I'm going to do one better. Like, I did this for the night, but next Friday night, I'm actually going to go to a strip club, and then I'll fucking call in from the club with a girl.
But you can't go into so much detail. Just tell them that you're with a radio show, and we want to talk to them live. you can't feed them a fucking line, because then they get nervous. Let us fuck with them once they get on, because then they're stuck. I'll be like, how many babies have you aborted? She'll be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, don't say no shit like that and get me smacked while I'm in the club.
Okay, I'll be like, how much cocaine can we buy?
What's the weirdest thing you've had happen to you in a strip club?
Oh, that's going too far, Lepaki. What if she was like, dude, Tijuana?
Well, considering myself, I've been in Tijuana. I'm going to go ahead and say everything was weird. Shit got crazy. You know, look, I'm just going to be honest. I'm deported from Mexico. I'm not allowed to go to Mexico for 5 years. Deported. How do you get your ass deported from Mexico?
I heard only by touching young boys, but I could be wrong.
No, I thought it was the donkey show.
That's why you'll never play tennis.
Hey, they don't call us Team High Cross for no reason.
I went out in the field, did some investigative reporting, and we got some insight for the night.
So, hey, what about any promotions that got canceled this week? Would anybody like to talk about some promotions that got canceled this week?
Well, Rama got fucked.
Yeah, what about that bullshit? Well, the poor promotion did get canceled, but what about when you're a fighter and you don't disclose an injury until the day you're supposed to fly out, which is 3 days before your fight? How much of a douchebag are you then?
That's huge. That's a huge problem. I mean, just that's bullshit, flat out. I mean, first of all,
the management company has had prior clients fight for him several times. They shouldn't have.
First of all, it's disrespecting fucking MSC, which is a fucking great organization, as we saw tonight. And you're disrespecting an opponent, which, you know, if they win, they're going to get that extra win bonus. And, yeah, you know, he got his show bonus, Ramon did or whatever, but he didn't get that win bonus that he would have got, you know, if he got the win. So
I don't think he cares about the money. I'm pretty sure, you know, I've talked to Shmielino a few times. I think he's more pissed off that he didn't get to get that belt put around his waist.
So where does that? Who's next? Who's next in line at heavyweight? Someone
else is gonna have to find something.
So
I mean, they're gonna have to bring somebody in because he's already beat Hacker. He beat. I mean, there's no point in fighting Tim Hague. Hacker beat Hague twice, and.
You bring somebody in. I mean, you're going to have to. You know, you bring in.
DJ Linderman.
Oh, man. Who?
DJ Linderman, Michael 300 Hayes, fucking Matt Kovacs. There's a couple names.
I agree with all those guys. All those guys are probably one of the best.
Your buddy, Eric Prindle.
Nutshot. See, was that not one of the most vicious axe kicks you've ever seen when he fucking axe kicked Thiago Santos in the ball?
Wow.
That's pretty vicious. I take that back, dude. That kid the other night in Glory, dude, who got his cup broke.
Noiri? He was
dude,
bad.
That kid was a fucking beast. Who gets their cup smashed in half and the strap broke? They change it out in the middle of the ring, and you still come and fucking put on a performance. And that's not your first nut shot of the night, either.
No, that first one. The first one.
And then have the referee massage it out for you.
Oh, yeah, that referee gave him a hand job in the fucking ring, dude. I've never seen that. That was crazy. Jeff, would you give a hand job to a fighter in the ring?
No.
No, he's like, no. Not even
no,
hesitation
no,
in his voice.
You're not a team player, bro.
I think
you
can win, fucking do it.
I'm not a team player. You're right. I'm not a team player. Not especially when it comes to that.
Here's a question.
So, hey.
Would you rather have Clinch in your pants or Kim Winslow?
Well, Kim Winslow, because it's a girl, at least.
Yeah, have you ever seen the back of Jeff's knuckles? That's scary.
Hey, now what about UFO? UFO was supposed to have a fight card coming up here, and the entire event got canceled this week. What do we think about when that kind of stuff happens? And one person's blaming the commission, and the commission's like, "We've never heard of you, bro."
Oh, that's some fucked up shit. They fucked over a lot of amateurs.
Yeah, I mean, What is the point in even doing that? Do you think they even reserved the venue? Or did they just not, you know, I mean, because why would you reserve the venue?
He reserved
the
venue.
That money.
That's the
part
venue.
I don't understand. But like, it doesn't make sense to me that you would just throw money away after, you know, like, just, you know, and not contact the commission. I mean, I don't really quite, and that doesn't make business sense to me, but I don't know the guy very well, so. Okay, apparently nobody's got any thoughts on when that happens. Chris, you booked a fight this week. You booked a fight this week.
Who was supposed to fight this week?
You did. Dave Jackson.
No, you're fighting
fight
Stalker.
Week.
You're fighting Stalker.
Yeah, I'm fighting. Yeah, man. Hey, I'm excited, man. I'm going to get in the gym. Carl, actually, from MMA Madhouse, just hooked me up with my gym fees for this month. So, yeah, man, I'm going to get in there and kill it, man. Thanks a lot to Carl, man. I really appreciate that shit. That's good looking out, man.
And you're fighting
you guys
a big card, huh?
Let me tell you guys, yeah, hold on. First of all, let me go into this shit, right? So there was a gas leak in my house, bro. So I get my fucking bill, right? This shit is $900, bro. These motherfuckers fucking didn't tell me when it was $400, $500, $600, no. I get my bill and this shit is $900, bro. This is no past due amounts, none of that shit. $900 flat out. I had to pay it. Dude, wow. I got the shit fixed. I got the leak fixed. Paid that shit today. Man, thank God for Carl, bro. I got gym fees and all that shit, and I'll be training my ass off for this fight. Yes, I'll be fighting an internet troll who talks a lot of shit on the internet. I'm going to work my ass off for this shit. I heard he's pretty tall. Don't really give a fuck. I'm just down to fight, and that's all I really got to say, man. Thanks to Dave Jackson. This card is fucking huge. You know, Rob Kimmins, 7-time veteran, USC veteran, versus Tyler Stinson, dude, come on. You know, honestly, like, to be on a card with Rob Kimmins, man, it's an honor, for real. Dude's a killer. And Tyler Stinson, that dude's no joke at all. Trains at Grudge, dude's nasty.
Okay, guys, I just got back from talking with my friend Bethany at Big T's Nightclub. A badass strip club. She's going to set it up for next Friday. She's going to set us up a couple strippers to come on the show to talk about it. And we'll be able to ask them all kinds of questions because some of them are some dirty, nasty, stanky bitches, and I know who they are. So I'm going to make sure all their dads are listening.
Hell yeah.
My favorite was, hey, dude, you guys all know Mandy. Anybody listens to the show regularly knows Mandy. I call her Velveeta.
Yeah, man. Why are you letting that bitch waste my fucking child support money, bro? The fuck?
Dude, she's in the strip club the other night, right?
Yeah,
she's
listen
down
to this
there
shit.
She's,
I just tell you, why are you letting her waste my fucking child support money and then you lead right into it? She's at the strip club the other night.
Dude, yeah, but this is what's the best part. I go in there to get her because she called and said, she's like, I'm too fucked up to drive. Come get me. So I'm like, cool. And I walk in the strip club. Drew, her, and another girl I know are just like shit-faced drunk, and she goes, hold on a second, before we go, walks over to some random guy, grabs all his money, and fucking snowballs a stripper right in her fucking crotch full of money. She goes, have fun, girl! I was like, that's fucked up, man. If I was that dude, I would have got up and shook that bitch like a bear. She just threw like $50 of ones at this fucking young girl. Dude, it's fucking insane, dude. I tell you what, man. It's great, though. I love going down to Big T's, man. That is one fucking hell of a fun night down there at the strip club, man. They take care of me VIP.
Okay, so we all watched the MFC main event. Jeff watched it through FaceTime on my phone. What did you guys think of the fight?
I thought they were great, man. I thought Sam Alvey could have finished it a little sooner. I thought, personally, he should have been more aggressive and stayed on it. But, you know, I mean, I thought he killed that dude. You know, the 10-8 round, that's the definition, like LaPonte said. That was the definition, the second round of a 10-8 round. He pretty much dominated the whole round, got on top, you know. He had him rocked. I mean, it was a flash knockout. Somehow Jay Silva stayed in there. You know, got elbowed, fucking boom, boom, just nasty elbows, bro. I mean, they were sick. And he lasted until the third round. And, you know, finally Sam Alvey came forward, came forward. There was a little clash of heads, but nothing that would have, you know, caused the fight to go any differently at all.
And, dude, the right hand that bounced him off the fucking ropes back into Albie,
yep,
is what did the damage.
Yep. And one thing I do like about is that it has, like, the ropes are really tight. You know, I've seen where the ropes aren't tight and somebody would have went out right there. You know what I'm saying? Their ropes are fucking tight as hell, man, and no one goes out. It's not very often.
How much of the MFC card did you guys watch? Did anybody watch the Facebook prelims?
I didn't get to watch that part, man. I think I caught it a little late. I think I was watching Inside MMA, I think. It's fucking horrible, too. What is that?
Wow. Did you guys think that was fight of the night of all the fights that you saw?
Oh, man. I don't know.
The main event. The Berchek and Benoit.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Definitely fight of the night, for sure.
Okay, guys, let me jump in. We got a caller live with us.
It wasn't the fight of the night. There was one of the Facebook prelims, which one was 3 minutes long, one was 2 minutes long, and one went into the second round was fight of the night. One of those three. Ridiculous.
Okay. Hey, guys, let me do something. We're going to bring in a caller. His name's Jeffrey. He wants to talk about the Syntex fight today. So let's talk about it. Welcome to the Rogue Show, brother.
Hey, it's Texas Jeff. How are you guys doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Kinda
for all the listeners out there, man, Texas Jeff used to call in and shoot the heavy shit with Ted DiBiase. So that's where you will recognize this voice from.
Yeah, I've been listening for a long time.
Action, bro. Ted DiBiase is missing in action.
I know. I'm going to have to go down there and find him or something.
I'm telling you, man, we had a show schedule and everything, and the dude just dipped out. He's gone.
Yeah, I listened to that show. I was just waiting because I remember you guys were wondering if he was just going to call in, and he just never showed up, I guess.
I know it sucks, man, but, you know, hey, the show must go on.
Yeah, definitely. I think you guys are doing a good job with it, though, man, still. I've always liked the show a lot.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. All of us do, man.
So, Jeffrey, what's your thoughts on the Syntex fight? I know he's one of your faves.
Oh, man, he's one of my favorite. I mean, he's done some stupid shit, but, you know, I support my fighters in high and low, and he's not fighting the best competition right now. But, I mean, it's still exciting to see him fight, and, you know, he looked in pretty good shape. So, like I said, the guy he fought probably wasn't the best or whatever. But I just enjoyed seeing him fight and getting a knockout and stuff like that. I was wondering if anyone else saw the fight.
Now, you touched on something. You thought he might have had a lesser opponent than he maybe could have gotten somewhere else. Do you think you should stay fighting overseas, maybe mid-level guys?
No, I'd like to see him come to Bellator and start fighting some people there, but my friend was telling me there might be some visa issues or something. I don't really know too much about it.
He was scheduled to fight in the Bellator tournament, and he was signed to Bellator, and then he got in a fight, like a street fight, and then he can't get he's having a hard time getting a visa.
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate, man, because I think he's getting more fans now. And I think he takes the sport a lot more serious. I think he's talented. You know, he has holes in his game, but who doesn't? I think he's working on them, though.
Do you think this is a good opportunity for Bellator maybe to take their promotion overseas? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think that's a great idea. You know, as a fan of Bellator, you know. I think that'd be fantastic. You know, what do you think about that?
Yeah, that'd be great. You know, I really support Bellator. I like what they do. And, I've always really liked that promotion. I want anything, you know, I'm not a UFC hater or whatever, but anything that, you know, that branches out and something different to watch is, you know, I always support that. That's always good to watch.
Okay, while we're talking about Bellator, what do we think about they're in heavy discussion right now of moving their tournaments to four-man tournaments. What do we think about that? And should they stay at the eight? I prefer the eight-man. I think they should always be eight-man.
Yeah, I like the eight-man, too. I don't know. It's just more fights and more, you know, more diversity, I think.
And I think it gives, quote-unquote, the underdog a real shot.
Yeah, it gives other people a chance, too, I think. You know, it makes them more known, more people who maybe, you know, with only four fighters in a tournament, not as many people are going to get their name out there. And we've seen a lot of people, you know, that never heard of and, you know, that I've never heard of. And, you know, they end up maybe not winning, but they at least get their name out there and put on some good shows. So, yeah, I think it gives them a chance.
Yeah, Jeffrey, you come from the old school though, where it's like you're more interested in watching a good fight and not really caring about who wins. Like if you'll still like a guy that performs really well, even if he doesn't win fights. You know, I mean, obviously we might like the guy that wins fights more, but we also like the guy that just comes out there and lays it all on the line and leaves on a shield.
Yeah, definitely. You know, that's just how I am, and you know, obviously, you know, I like when my guys win, but as long as they go out there and they put on a good performance, and you know, my guys have been beaten plenty of times that I support, but I always give props to the other guy. I always like to just see people go out there and give it their all. So I really like about the sport.
Do you guys, everybody on the panel, Jeff, you included, do you guys think we need more guys in the vein of the old Heath Herrings, where no matter what, win or lose, they just come out exciting, bring good fights?
Well, of course. Of course, but I mean, so many people are fighting for their jobs now, you know. Oh, I got to win, and I got to be boring in order to win without possibly getting knocked down and hurting, you know, my chances. You know, it's bullshit that guys get signed to 4-5 contracts, and then one fight into their contract, they lose, and then they get fucking booted from the UFC. I mean, that's bullshit, complete bullshit. If they get signed to 4 fights, they need to do the 4 fights. Whether they win, lose, or draw, let them fucking do their 4 fights. And let it, you know, I don't know. That's one reason I think there should be a fighter union, and that's a whole other fucking show. You know what I mean? I'm all for it.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Like, you know, if I'm going to do a job and I sign a contract or somebody, you know, if I'm going to do something, if you sign on dotted line, you should do whatever that piece of paper says. You know what I mean? If you sign for 3 fights, you should get your 3 fights.
Amen. Because let's be honest, if I sign for 5 fights for an organization, jump ship, everybody is like, that's bullshit. You're supposed to be a man. It's the same thing in any sport, football, baseball. When these assholes sit the fuck down and say, I'm not going to play until I get a new contract. Bullshit. You put your fucking name on the line. We expect you to honor it. But at the same time, the organization needs to honor what the fuck the contract says.
Exactly. Yeah, now you've got a lot more people getting cut from, you know, I'm just talking about UFC, like, right now at the moment. And now a lot of people, you know, are getting cut more often. And now, you know, people might just be, you know, like you said, they're fighting for their job. You know what I mean? Nobody wants to get fired. So, I mean, it's good and, I mean, it's good and bad. But
see, that's the shit thing about the UFC, I feel, is because if you are an exciting fighter and you bring it, but you lose, they don't give a fuck about you. They only care about if you win. Only if you win do they care. What happened to the days where we had fighters?
I think you should have to be winning to get there. I think you should have to be winning to get there. But if when you're there, you put on exciting fights, I mean, you know, I would rather watch you put on exciting fights and lose in the UFC than go back to fucking West Virginia and start beating up cans again.
Yeah, I mean, look at someone like Akiyama or something. You know what I mean? He came and he just had he lost his first couple, but he had some real exciting fights. You know what I mean? I wish that there was more people like that. Win or lose, he always put it all on the line. You know what I mean? And a big fan of the sport, like I'm sure all of you are. Like, everyone's going to respect that. You know, it doesn't matter if you won or lost. He'd put on good fights every time he was on.
Yeah. I 100% agree. I mean, as a fan, we all want to see the best fights, but that doesn't always mean the best fights are the top two guys or, you know, the champion and the number one contender. I mean, we've seen a lot of title fights that were sour bags of shit. Let's be honest. I can name 5 of them with GSP alone. You know, so it's not always about, you know, how many times have all of us said the undercard was better than the main event for Azufa?
Definitely.
Well, you know, dude, what is our biggest appeal? What is our biggest appeal
to why I don't know why I watch kickboxing and Muay Thai, because it's nonstop action. Dude. These guys don't give a shit about records. They're in there banging it out, man. You see that Peter Hitz and Ben Hadik fight?
Yep.
Did anybody see that? Besides
no,
Ender? Dude, Eric like is on the wrong end of a beatdown the first round, and then comes back and finishes this guy in the second round with a 3 knockdown rule. It was fucking badass.
And Lepaki, think about this: those sports that you just mentioned, a guy can be 116-32, and he is treated as the same and given the same respect as the guy who's 55-0. Because it's not about win-loss, it's about the performance you put on inside that ring.
Yeah, while we're talking about random combat sports, I do want to give a super birthday shout-out to Lenny Hart before the end of today, because it is her birthday, and I think we would all agree that she's probably one of the greatest announcers to ever announce a combat sport, and we appreciate what Lenny Hart's doing for the game.
Yes, sir.
100% agree. Happy birthday to the voice of pride in so many Asian MMA events. And God willing, one of you stupid motherfuckers in America hire her to come to some of our events.
You know what?
Awesome.
Even USC. I think even the USC should have her in when they go to Japan. You know, I think they should honor that. I think that'd be fantastic. But, I mean, you know how it is.
No, that will never happen because she's not going to give up her rights to the USC. She is well too known. She is a marketable entity. She is loved by the masses of every organization that she has worked for. And she's not going to give up those rights to announce a fucking Zuffa machine. She won't. Never.
It would be pretty cool, though. I was watching that UFC Reloaded or whatever the fuck on Fuel TV earlier, and it was the one in Japan, and when Rampage was coming out, I was just thinking how badass it would be, you know, if she was announcing him, you know, and it would be really, like, I see where you're coming from, and I agree, but it would be really cool, though.
It would be so beautiful to see her announce on a major platform like that for an American organization. You know, I'll be honest, it'd be great to see her. You know, a lot of the major, I think, if anything, guys, I think Access TV should sign her to a long-term deal and do all their events. You know, that's what I think, to where she's doing 5 or 6 different events a year, company-wise.
Dude, she does a lot of the events, though, in Japan. Yeah, that's where she lives at now. I mean, she's so, I mean, the Japanese people have so much respect for her, I don't see her ever moving out of there. But
hey,
maybe we can get her at a Cage Warriors Combat one night, Jeff. What do you think, buddy?
Come on, Jeff. You got $50,000 you can blow on a fucking
acre. I don't know. I might have to, like, sell an acre of land or something. I don't know if I
can
do that.
Other Jeff. Quench.
He's live. I don't know. He must be eating some apple.
Hey, why don't you bring Lenny Hart in to Cage Warrior Combat?
Who's that?
What did you
say? Shut the fuck up, dude. I'm hanging up on Jeff right now. Okay, I just hung up on him. Dude, that's fucked up. I just hung up on him.
So, Jeffrey, what local events are down there going on close to you that you get to attend?
I live pretty close to San Antonio. There's a couple of good ones. I don't get to go to as many as I used to, but there's some good MMA.
Hit me
yeah.
up, bro. I can get you into all the ones at the Cowboy Dance Hall down there on the north side with Premier Combat Group. Dude, you want to ever cover those? Just hit me up, dude. I can get you in for passes. All you got to do is send me live results, bro.
That'd be cool, man. I like Cowboys. There's nice chicks there, and it's fun to drink.
Yeah.
And I mean, fucking chicks drinking in MMA, it's badass. And my brother lives, like, right down the street, so I don't got to worry about, like, drinking and driving. It's pretty badass.
See, there
dude,
you go, that, man.
Dude, definitely, yeah. We're going to have to hook it up, dude. I know they got an event coming up soon, too, so
do you eat at this Greek restaurant Skippy's always telling us about?
That's in Houston, Nico Nico's.
Yeah,
I don't know too much about Houston.
Dude, no, but you know what? They can. You can attest, dude. The San Marcos River, dude, through downtown with the waterfalls. That's some pimp-ass shit to get fucked up and float, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's pretty badass, dude. Like,
dude, for,
I don't know. I like Texas. There's a lot of cool stuff about around where I live at. It's cool.
And for everybody out there, dude, they literally carved out 3 waterfalls so you can raft down them. And at the bottom, there's a big wading pool with a fucking bar and a train that takes you back up, a little, like, street train trolley. It's fucking sick.
Yeah, you can just, like, get fucked up and go down these fucking little rapids or whatever. I mean, what else would you want to do? Badass.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you don't got to walk,
oh,
you
yeah,
don't got to walk
you,
back up.
Once you got New Braunfels in the same town.
Yeah. They got a badass
now, look,
water park over there, too.
Dude, oh, yeah, dude, that place is sick. Actually, when you get off there to go to New Braunfels, about a block and a half east, there's a Mexican restaurant on the corner, dude. They got some dope ass food, man. I used to run that place. It's good. You get
for
that
real?
Shit in the drive-through too. Yeah, dude. It's a, oh my god, the Adobe Cafe.
Adobe Cafe. I'm gonna have to check. I'm gonna have to check it out. I'm all about I'm all about smoking one and going on random road trips to like restaurants I've never been to. It's just something I like to do. So I'm gonna have to do that
dude,
one day.
That's something that we all probably have in common.
Yeah. Yeah. Straight up, dude, they're refried beans, the most authentic recipe, I swear to God. It's a 50-pound bag of beans in a big cauldron, a 10-pound block of Hormel rendered bacon fat, salt and pepper, that is it. Slow cooked for 4 hours and then blended in a big blender. That is the best refried beans you will ever fucking have, man.
Sounds healthy.
Oh. And then you'll spend 4 days running that off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what?
Actually, you'll probably just blow it out. I mean, so you may be all right.
You're talking to a guy who's like 86 internally. I'm dying already. Why not enjoy what days I have left?
Yeah, that's like my one weakness when I have like working out. Like I just don't enjoy running, and I enjoy eating too much, and I don't enjoy running enough. It's like the main thing I have going right now, but I'm getting over it, kind of.
It's, the running's the most boring part, man.
That's why you should get a trike and trike instead of running.
Well, yeah, Chris, who do you want to bash, dude? Chris has got somebody that he wants to put on the saucer and throw against the fucking window.
I'm just saying,
man. Do you want to talk about it? Do you want to talk about why you're changing?
Hold on. Hey, 310-742-1799. Anybody who wants to go into overtime with us must call in the next 2 minutes and 50 seconds. Big shout out to all our sponsors, Clinch Custom Mouth Guard, TheGetClinch.com, Clock Tower Pub, number one sports bar in Oregon, Vision Smoke Shop Glass Distribution, Ink Tank Tattoo. Don't forget next week, Big T Strippers will be live on the show. 310-742-1799. 2.5 minutes to get in live with us for the next hour. Go, Chris.
So why are you changing, Chris?
Man, you know, I don't know, man. Just because I guess I'm starting to see the real, you know? I'm starting to see the real, man. I'm seeing fighters that don't want to fight for certain promotions because their fighters only fight in one promotion. They won't fight anywhere else. It's getting ridiculous. It's hurting the sport in our area because, you know, I'll say something on Facebook and say, this guy is the best 145er, and then I'll get a message. You know, oh, that guy is a 145er. He won't fight these guys. Well, no, he don't want to fight these guys because he's going to fight in a fucking promotion where no matter what happens, your guy is going to win. He has to finish the fight in order, you know, you got to finish fights in certain promotions. I'm not going to say names because I'm not even doing that shit. I'm just saying, straight up, I'm just saying, flat out, you have to finish fights in certain promotions in order to get that nod, or you're just going to have to dominate. And that's why fighters won't fight in certain promotions. And you see guys like in my area, Christian Camp, who fight, you know, in Springfield and then fight in St. Louis and then, you know, go here and back and forth between Southwest Missouri and Middle Missouri. This kid is a beast, man. He's 12-2 right now. Kid's on a roll, man, 145, man. I'm telling you right now, he beat my boy. It's hard to even say this shit
because he beat my boy Caleb Dye, but he's such a talented kid, man. He gets it, you know what I'm saying? And he won't fight in other promotions because he sees the shadiness, and several fighters in my area are starting to see that shadiness. It's rough. It's rough around here. MMA, you know, promoters don't like you going to other shows, and, you know, it's like, dude, don't bust my balls, bro. I'm allowed to cover any event I want. And even if you think, hey, it's just a cage fight, it's not MMA, I'm going to go cover it because you never know. You know, those talented guys might start at those fucking bum fights that you might call bum fights, you know? And that's just my opinion, you know? I mean, look, there in Kansas City, there is some bum fights at Whiskey Tango's, but all the top fighters that are pros now in Kansas City fought there. So you got to give them those props, even though they're, you know, kind of a shitty promotion. And that would be
everybody.
Go ahead.
Everybody starts somewhere. Oh, I was just going to say, I didn't mean to cut you off. I was saying, you know, everybody starts somewhere. You can't look back. I mean, there's fucking videos of Shogun fighting, you know, in like some random room in Brazil or wherever the fuck he was at. You know what I mean? Everybody starts somewhere. You can't bash somebody, you know, for that.
No, Roy Nelson fighting up at Fight Force in Montana in a barn, you know, while people were feeding horses was going on back in like 2003. What was it, Skip? 2003? Is that about right?
Yeah, it's like, 2003. But, I mean, let's be honest. Let's look at, you know, organizations just, you know, in our own states. I mean, who's come through them? I mean, fuck, dude. I'm not a fan of the people who own the FCFF, but they produce some fighters who've gone on through that organization to some bigger things. You know, you have lower-ranked organizations maybe that ran some shitty promotions. They come and go. But if you're talking about any organization that's legitimately consistently putting on events and they offer you a fight and you don't want to take it because they're not your homeboys or, you know, that seems kind of wasteful of your career.
Well, of course it is, man. I would like to see them bring more guys down from up around the Seattle-Tacoma area. I think there's a lot of really good amateurs up there, but what we need to have happen before that's possible is that we need Washington to start mandating blood work.
I thought I saw something that they're going to starting June 1st.
Jeff?
What's that about? They don't give a fighter's blood test or something before fights, or what's that about? I don't really know about that.
They don't do that here in Missouri for amateur fights either, you know? I mean,
that's stupid.
I think so, too. You know, as a fighter myself, I like to know that the other fighter's clean, especially to know that I'm going to be fighting a dirty motherfucker like Scotty Smith. You know what I'm saying? I want to make sure that dude ain't getting no STDs or HIV, you know?
Fuck Hep C, bro. Who cares about
Chris
the
HIV? Chris is going to get out of the ring after winning and take the morning after pill just to be safe.
No shit. Plan B, homie. Plan to take that Plan B shit.
Is that you not talking shit?
Hey, that was
Hey Jeff, that statement only worked on Facebook, dude. He's free to talk shit on the radio. He was only strictly talking about Facebook in that post.
I'm not getting into a battle of wits on Facebook because he'll just go into, oh man, you're scared. No, we're fighting now, homie. We'll see who's scared. If that dude don't show up, I'm going to fucking pick up a heavyweight on the way and I'm fighting somebody. Hey, man, you want to fight, bro? Hey, I'll pay for your travel and hotel. I had to do this for this fight. I'll pay for your travel and hotel. Scotty, come fight me. Shit, let's do this.
Dude, Donald Pierce, be on alert. You're going to get a short call notice fight.
Hey.
Dude, Team High Cross ain't fighting each other, bro.
Who's your money on? Well, no. Think about it. Who wins that fight? Not you, Chris, you can't answer because you only say one.
Well, not the fans.
I laugh if Chris said Donald.
I would put my $100 on Chris Gregory to win the fight.
Oh, fuck that, dude.
I got
King
a hundo on Chris Gregory if that fight goes down, I got a hundo on Chris Gregory. I might even give like 1.5-1 odds on it.
Would you be willing to parlay it with Bruce Richard versus Sam Seward?
No, because Sam can't fight right now. And if he's listening, I'm kicking his ass.
He's probably listening going, did LaFosse just say I could fight Bruce Richards?
I almost thought about letting him fight Matthew Gaither the other day.
But, Donald, if we do fight, bro, I won't sponsor you, I promise.
That's fucked up. Now, who gets the Utter Butter sponsorship? That's the real question. Who gets to rep Utter Butter?
Man, you know, honestly, you know, hey, I will if I get that shit, for I love it on my feet, bro. I can give it to a few motherfuckers in my gym, too. You know what I'm saying? Rough
so,
ass.
Hey, dude, you've been doing a lot of swimming training.
Yeah, dude,
How's that going for you?
I enjoy swimming, and my son does too, so, you know, it's easy for me to actually take him while I work out and shit. And, like, I take him to the Y at night. I've been swimming my ass off. It helps. I don't know. It's nothing special, but, I mean, I've been swimming a grip of fucking laps.
Hey, Jeff.
I can't wait to get in the gym and get some real, you know, mano, you know. Hey, like, I work mitts every day with my homie, and you know what I'm saying, but you don't get that sparring and shit, and it's really no help, you know what I'm saying? So, thanks to Carl.
Hey, Clinch, I have a fan question. They want to know if you can clarify any issue on the blood test. Is it on the books? Is it not on the books? Is it something that's about to be? Do you know anything?
I know it's coming. I don't know when, but I'm trying to find out right now if there's something new.
Jeff, I could have sworn I read in one of the groups, like MMA Washington or something, that said starting June 1st or July 1st, amateur fighters will have to be blood tested. And it had a little thing. I want to say it was like, for some reason, Unified Combat League that put it up, but I'm not sure, bro.
Right.
I'm looking myself.
I sure hope so.
Hey, I just want to let a lot of fighters know that they can easily go to, like, the health department. That's what I did to get my blood work done because I wanted to fight in Oklahoma, so that's what I did. And you could easily just go to, like, the clinic or whatever and just tell them, look, you know, I'm a fighter. I'd like to get this done, and they'll blood test your ass for free, man. Instead of going and looking into paying, I would at least do that first if you're a fighter, and at least check and see if they'll do it, because a lot of health departments do that shit. So if you're a fighter, I'm telling you, just do that before you pay any cost.
Dude, just go donate some blood to the Red Cross, man. They'll send you a letter like 30 days afterwards. Thank you for your donation. Or they'll
send
you a letter that says you have something. You can no longer donate blood.
I don't know if that's valid, because I think you have to take three different tests.
Dude, they're testing for everything. They're testing for
everything. They don't let you donate
blood
if you have THC in it, do they?
Yeah, you can donate with THC, man. They give that to the cancer patient.
Because I fucking, in high school, we did some, I remember a couple years ago, like in high school, we did something, and all these fucking blood tests, blood things supposedly came back, like half the school came up dirty for weed or something.
Have you seen the people that give plasma, bro? Come on, man.
Yeah, I don't know. That's not really my scene. I don't really know too much about it.
If you get blood and plasma, come the fuck on.
I used to just shoot. I'd be like, dude, just give me the needle. I can handle it. Go away.
Okay, man. Oh, man. You're like, yo, don't miss. Here, let me have it. That's wrong.
Damn.
No comments. It got silent.
Everybody's like, how do we come with that one now?
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, Albie got knocked out of the night.
Yeah, you know, that was pretty obvious. Hey, you know, Bucky, what about submission of the night? Kurt Southern? What do you think?
Well, I'm trying to think about, I don't know, that was a pretty sweet little choke Luke Harris had. You know, like that fucking arm triangle with a kind of like a bomb blue mixed in.
Oh, the mounted arm triangle?
Yeah. With the shoulder smother.
Oh, you mean the neck crank. That was like a neck crank. That was more like a modified neck crank or some shit. Like,
I don't even think they were. I think he should have just named it. That's the first time I had ever seen it like that. I mean, it was weird.
Hey, what did you guys think about the fact that they went and interviewed Jay Silva after the fight, but they didn't interview Sam Alvey?
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that kind of backwards? Like, don't you normally interview the guy that wins?
No, I thought they interviewed Sam Alvey, too. I thought they had. I thought they got both of them.
I don't know. The guy went right off chasing down Jay Silva. Jason's here with Jay Silva. Now, Jay, what do you think about this fight? Well, I don't think that's a loss. I was awake. I mean, the fact that I was getting my ass kicked for 2.5 rounds doesn't really matter.
Hey, Lepaki, let me say something. I'm reading on the ABCBoxing.com. It says Washington regulations as of the 1st of this month, confirmed by Sarah Bakatich. Blood work, HIV, hepatitis B, surface antigen, hepatitis C antibody, blood work will be mandatory and valid for 1 year. Physicals must be done by a licensed DM or DO and is valid for 1 year. Eye exams, the same. But here's the interesting thing. It says fighters 37 years and older will need to provide an EKG or an EEG. The EKG must have a doctor sign off on it and must have a normal interpretation stated on the EKG. Fighters who lose 6 fights in a row must provide an EKG, EEG. The EKG must be signed off by a doctor.
Exactly the same as it is for pros now. Here, it's going to be for the amateurs.
So basically they're just adapting the pro medical rules.
Yep. Yep, everything you just read is everything they have to do already.
Okay.
If you get beat 6 times in a row, you should get your head checked if you're still wanting to fight a 7th time.
Somebody needs to call Chris Hensley, please.
Ooh.
Shows up every time, makes weight, fights his ass off, comes out on the losing end, but he's a get-grab-your-hard-hat-and-your-lunchbox guy from his point of view. He's feeding his family. He's fought everybody. He's a who's who of fights, man.
Yeah, he's like the first gatekeeper most people come across.
Yeah.
Which means there's nothing wrong that you need those guys. You know, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, he's responsible and respectful to the game. He makes weight, according to Jeff. I don't know. I can't speak on that because I haven't seen him fight live.
Is that Dick Culver now? Is he the gatekeeper? I mean, it's been pretty obvious. You know,
Hey, Jeff, so you know, it was Bill 2031 signed by Christine Georgier. It says in the statement that every amateur fighter in the state of Washington must be licensed annually, physical examination, and all applicable blood tests. Fight cards will be required to have a doctor and an ambulance. According to Bill,
what's
House
an
Bill 2301.
Whoa.
What's an ambulance?
Be required to have what? A doctor and an ambulance? Or?
Yes.
Which one? Or?
Huh?
An ambulance?
All fight cards will also be required to have a doctor and an ambulance present when House Bill 2031.
And we should. Did they really spell it wrong, or you just can't say ambulance?
Yeah, I just can't say ambulance.
Ambulance? Holy shit. Come on, Corky. You can do it. Ambulance. Sound it out.
Listen, I'm not even going to try to fucking lie, dude. You know how fucking trashed I am right now? I've been seeing double all night. We got like 50 people on the phones. I keep going, hello, hello. And like people don't say shit back, dude. And I'm like, hello, hello. Fucking crazy. So because I can't speak correct English, you guys can continue to call me the redneck I am.
You're
a Mexican Jew. You're not a redneck.
Two different times. Yeah, you said it two different ways, and you said the word like 4 times. You said it two different ways. Like a couple times, it was the ambulance, and then it was the ambulance. And
sometimes I call you a bitch. Sometimes I call you a hoe. So what?
Well, I know, but sometimes we call. Sometimes we feed you a bowl of tricks, and sometimes we give you the hose.
Hey, remember, silly rabbit, dicks are for chicks.
I'm okay.
Okay, now back to fucking MMA.
You're the one that does weird shit with dicks.
Yeah. To say the least.
Dude, you guys gotta admit, that was funny. Come on, man. Teabagging Carl was fucking funny on the camera. That was just fucking funny. I ain't gonna fucking lie. Anybody who says that isn't funny.
I think we should call Carl and ask him.
Dude.
Were they laughing at
the
teabagging or the size of the teabag? They're probably laughing at the size of the teabag.
It don't matter. Either way, they're still laughing, motherfucker, and he still has balls on his forehead.
It only
remember
works,
that, Jeff.
You should have got a screenshot of it.
Remember that? I need to remember
that? I should have. Yeah, because I can fucking screenshot my video system. So, next time I'll do that when I do it to Jeff.
You could just have one of the kids take your picture when you're teabagging Carl the next time. Hey, dude, here's something that we need to talk about, Jeff. You posted some interesting stuff the other night from some people in Florida.
What did I post?
What does everybody think about that subject?
What was it?
Think about
it
Matthew.
Out, bitch.
The fucking kids, man. The kids grappling. The parents fighting. The people banned from gyms.
Dude, I'll talk about that shit. What the fuck is up with people in this fucking world? Quit fucking being so pussified. Look, because some fucking asshole calls your wife a bimbo. Really? You want to jump on a company for that? First of all, maybe your wife is a fucking bimbo. And second
bimbo.
Of all, if she's not, you know what? So be it. I've had people, including a close friend once to my second wife, call her a whore. It didn't upset me because she was a whore, okay? So I don't get upset, you know. Look, you know your wife's a fucking bimbo. So does everybody at the event. They're just not great enough to say it to you. And if you have a problem, leave the fucking kids out of it and go fight the dad and shut your fucking mouth. Leave the companies that support these kids and these local fighters all across the country and the world alone, you dipshit fucking moron.
Bimbo.
Bimbo. We should all
it's
post
pretty weird
bimbo.
Message. We got a weird response for some guy. Some guy responded to that whole thing, too.
Oh, really?
I got to go back and read it.
Yeah.
Yeah, what did he have to say? Read it on the air, Skippy.
Yeah, that's better, because I can't read it. I don't think.
You guys let the fucked up drunk guy fucking high on crack to read it? Okay.
Yeah, dude. You'll be the one that will read it the truest way it should be, that it was written. I don't know, I'm watching this Paul Daly fight right now, dude, and he really had some adversity in the first round.
I love his jab, man. Great jab.
You know, I think him and Sam Stout would be a good match if we told them just to stay on their feet.
Yeah, that would be a good fight. My friend said that when he was supposed to go to Bellator, he was maybe going to fight War Machine.
Yeah, that's who he was scheduled to fight. Then he got into a bar fight, you know? I mean,
yeah, that shit's unfortunate, man. You know.
Hey, it worked out for Badahari.
Yeah, it
wasn't exactly a bar fight.
Paul Daly's already got kind of a bad reputation, you know. And I'm not condoning at all what he did. It was a fucking stupid thing to do. You know, obviously the cost check thing. But I mean, you got to move on. A lot of people.
I thought it was great. How many times do you guys want to do that?
John Jones got a fucking DWI, and people still worship him. Like, I'm not saying, all I'm saying is people make mistakes, you know?
Thank God.
Oh, shit. I hear it all the time. Oh, John Jones is a mentor. Oh, I love him. Oh, wow. Oh, fucking get over yourself.
I don't
stop
see
living.
Any comments.
Stop living through fucking John Jones already.
Okay,
I'll send it to you.
By author.
No, you're not looking in the right spot. I'm looking at it, so I'll send it to you.
Okay,
you
send it to
it.
Me. I'll read it because right now it says, underneath me, it says, between me and Rebecca Herbert, it says, comment removed, author withheld.
They banned your ass, that's why.
I think that person responded back. I think that's that person deleting their own comment.
Well, good. Read it to me, because I'm going to fucking give it to me. I'm going to read it out loud.
It's on your screen.
Hey, did Paul Daly make weight? I just wanted to ask, because I know he's had, like, a legit problem, but, I mean, I guess it was in Dubai, so it won't really matter.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he made weight.
I didn't know. I just was wondering.
He was throwing such nice punches, man.
I guess the dude's looking at, like, 2 years in prison for that shit.
He's got really long, straight punches, man. That's really nice to watch.
The dude's a beast, man. I love watching.
All I got was my comment.
Yeah, no shit.
You see how he does the extension on the jab, and it's a good thing to watch. You know, a lot of people don't, a lot of MMA fighters don't utilize the jab. And I hate to sound like Joe Rogan or whatever, but it's a good thing to watch. When you see someone who's got a crisp jab like that.
Dude, he put that guy stone cold out.
That dude was out.
Wow, man, I didn't realize until they're showing the fucking doctors talking to him.
I know, man, I wish I would have watched the whole card, because I really
okay.
Don't think I see that.
Okay, guys,
yeah.
Here we go.
Are you going to interrupt me again?
Yes, shut up. It says, wow, you sound like an overbearing parent. What kids should be told not to celebrate their accomplishments with friends and fans on a social media site? Sounds like you're holding back a star for more selfish reasons. As for the bull parents, what does that have to do with some company sponsoring a young kid? I also don't understand how you can say that Clinch Custom mouth guards was unprofessional. Explain how some dude calls your old lady bimbo, not a whore, a slut, or a cunt, bimbo, and you feel the need to blast some company on a post that has nothing to even do with the bull. Fucking jackhole.
I like it.
Yeah, but I didn't know who wrote that.
Love it. That's how it should
who
be
wrote
sold,
that.
Dude. Huh?
Yeah, but what? You wrote that. You wrote that.
I know. I fucking did. That's the whole point. I didn't know that he was trying to get me to read my own shit because he liked it. I'm just high, guys. You guys got to understand. You know what crack does to the human body when you mix it with Brillo? It makes me hallucinate.
And when you mainline your steroids?
Hey, at least I'm not banging dope in my pee-pee anymore.
Anymore. Were you banging
sure
in there or somebody else?
Some fucking
guy.
I thought
the other guy was just holding it.
Some fucking guy in jail was talking about how he used to bang meth in his dick or something. I didn't think he was serious, but then I heard a couple other people talk about it, and I was like, what the fuck?
That's Skippy, bro. That's Skippy. That was his
Why the fuck did you have to tell that story right then? God damn.
That was his old thing, you know? That's Skippy's old forte. He used to like to bang fucking shit in his pee-pee.
Damn.
Oh, man.
Whether it be Scotch, THC, or whatever, that motherfucker bangs shit in his pee-pee, I swear to God. That's ridiculous.
Scotch?
Have you ever thought about I have a medical condition and that's what the doctor told me to do?
That's a possibility.
Okay,
I just
want to
know how
doctor,
you had kids afterwards.
Look, a doctor in the alley examined me. He said everything would be fine and I could do it.
Examined you?
It was right behind the 7-Eleven, dude. He was legit. He had a card and everything. He had a bunch of gloves in his trunk.
That's
why
Skippy was
him?
So enthralled by Noiri getting the fucking hand job after the second nut shot, because it was taking him back to a time when he was getting that in the back alley from that fucking doctor off the res.
It was nostalgia.
Yeah.
Damn.
Skippy was like, man, this reminds me of going to the Indian hospital back in South Texas.
Yeah, that's fucked up. How did you know about that?
Because, bro.
But we know everything. We got the book on you.
It's a small town, bro.
Your whole story
so much.
We're going to get rich off your life story.
Dude, I'll tell you right now, dude, if they ever made a movie of me, River Phoenix would have to play me.
No, we talked about that. That little guy from Taxi.
Danny DeVito, but River Phoenix, what a great story.
That's who plays you, or Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci, no. It's got to be River, because he had a classic story, an American beauty cut down at a young age. That's me. I just didn't die.
You don't look anything
like. I feel like I did.
You don't look the same. You and Joe Pesci, Danny DeVito, now that's a definite look the same.
It would have to be Danny DeVito, just because I think I like him more as an actor.
Because you're both under 4 feet,
right? I mean, you guys watch
It's
Sunny in Philadelphia,
would you,
man,
well, yeah,
come
but
on.
I think it would be more of a Taxi Danny DeVito.
No, it would be more of
sure.
a Frank. No, more of a Frank whipping out the gun.
No,
shit,
bro, no, it's more of a Danny DeVito in Taxi.
Am I more Danny DeVito in Taxi or more Danny DeVito in fucking It's Always Sunny?
I'm going Danny DeVito in Taxi.
I'm asking my wife, yeah. Shut up. She said I'm Brad Pitt in Legend of the Fall, so fuck off.
Oh, my God. No, she didn't, dude.
Oh, so she
Charlie
said you're gay. Said you're gay. Definitely you're gay.
Jeff, you know what? I think you're that one dude from fucking Wild Horses or whatever. What was that movie, Outlaw Country, where the horses
Wild
had to
horses.
Watch the two guys have sex? What was that country movie?
That's
what
much daytime
the
television.
Fuck are you talking about, man?
Too much daytime television, too.
Well,
to
Brokeback Mountain, bitch. That's it. That's you, Jeff. And LaPaca.
That's all you got? That's all you got? That was not even original or witty or quick or anything.
Whew. Look, I'm intoxicated on fucking heroin and methamphetamines, and I got strippers all over the studio.
Damn.
Yeah,
it
just keeps getting worse, folks.
That's bullshit.
Okay, I'm lying, dude. I'm getting high on Super Glue and Rockstar, but I wanted it to sound cool.
This motherfucker's high on bath salts. Don't get this shit twisted. Dude, he broke that shit down and banged it in his dick.
I've got more Sharpies in front of me than you guys have ever seen.
This motherfucker is banging
basalt. He's sitting out there with a can of Danish oil and a fucking white rag.
Oh,
he's got that in his left hand, and he's got a bottle of turpentine and a brown rag in his right hand, so he can keep them separated and knows which ones he can rotate back and forth.
I would like right now to start apologizing to all the XSD fans who stayed to tune in to this crazy shit.
Apologize.
Why? This is they need to know, bro. I mean, you know, we.
Oh,
dude,
you know they're like, oh, he's talking about Nick Newell. Let's listen, and then the show he's off. They're like, oh, let's listen a little longer. Oh my God, dude, these guys are fucking insane.
I think
we
did good
them.
With the Come On Ref.
Dude, Come On Ref got shared a couple of times already, dude. People love that. We should start posting on a ref show each week. Have people send entries.
Ooh. Now you're thinking.
That's pretty
dude,
cool.
That way we get a bunch. And send a video clip if available.
So, Chris, what event are you going to next?
Well, May 18th, there is Combat MMA. You've got Daniel Roberts versus Brian Foster, both UFC veterans. It's a pretty good fight. Then June 8th, then you've got a Blackout Fighting Championships 8th. That is, or 7, that's going to be on History Channel or featured on History Channel's new show. So that's going to be pretty sick. My logo is actually, MMA Topics logo is going to be in the cage. Travis Porter, man, that dude is a good dude, good promoter. He's fought himself, you know. Dude's a journeyman of amateur MMA. So, you know, the dude has experience. He's crazy, man. Look, it's free admission. So bring your ass down here to Butler, Missouri. I don't know, it's a little redneck town, I'm telling you right now. I'm going to have 3 carloads of people rolling. We're going to be rolling, passing blunts. I don't give a shit. That's just how we're going to roll down there. So if you're down to roll, Butler, Missouri, free admission, dude. Come on. I told him he's crazy for it. I think he needs to at least charge, at least a cover for the people drinking at least. I said that's what he should do. He better fucking listen to me and do it. That's it.
I like it. I would like also any state troopers working that corridor to please allow him to go through in his 86 Capri as fast as he wants.
Yeah. Riding dirty.
Oh, you got a Caprice Classic, man?
You know what I'm saying? Look, actually, I'm rolling right now in a Capri, bro. So it's about the same. Either way.
Bobby. Dude, I saw a new Caprice today. Eugene Police Department was driving in a new Caprice today. They didn't look too bad. I didn't know they were still making those cars, but
it's weird just where I live. You guys all know, and everybody listens to the show, I cook for the cops a lot and the chief of police. These motherfuckers got, like, Chargers, SUVs all slammed on 20s. Dude, I'm like, dude, every one of them's got a brand-new car. Topic, dude, I thought this town was broke we live in. These cops, man, they got SWAT vehicles. They've got all kinds of crazy, like, rescue shit, four-wheelers. I mean, dude, it's insane. Okay, everybody, just get real fucking quiet.
Well, yeah, that's what this guy just sent me some fucked up picture just now, bro. I don't even know what the fuck is going on now.
I'm not even going to
look. God dang. Hey, man, what does everybody think about Tyrone Spong scheduled to fight at World Series of Fighting 3? Can't get a visa to get in. The fight's canceled. Then a couple weeks later, he gets a visa. He's going to fight at the Hammerstein Ballroom for glory.
Tactics? Manager tactics? I think that, I don't know, man. I don't give a shit either way. I think either way, you know, I'd rather see him fight. I'd rather see him kickbox, in my opinion, anyway. I love watching him do kickbox, but...
Do you think that there's any way that World Series of Fighting is having trouble paying Tyrone Spong's salary, and that's why he got out of that fight, so he could take a fight that he would know would pay him?
I don't know, man, because they're signing some pretty decent names right now, so I don't think they're having a problem with paying a salary. I wonder, you know, he had a pretty tough fight, man, you know what I mean? I'm pretty sure that dude that we scheduled to fight is legit. I mean, more legit than his last opponent, that's for sure.
De La Riva, wasn't that who he was supposed to fight? Angel De La Riva or something?
I think so. Yeah.
Angel DeAnda. Angel DeAnda.
DeAnda, that's
what
it.
What the fuck, Chris? I'm sick and tired of you fucking taking pictures of me. That is so fucking, like, my overalls. Where the fuck did you get those? Even my wife looking at me confused.
He has a similar pair.
Hey, now that we heard where Chris is going, which I believe is a great event and everybody should get out there and support it, but let's talk about some real MMA. Lepaki, where are you going?
Tomorrow night I'll be at Cage Warrior Combat 4. In Kingston, Washington, at the Point Casino.
And fans, everybody out there, at Lepaki, Lopati. Write it down, motherfuckers, because when he fucks up the judging, I want you guys to send that shit to him, how much you hate him and how much he sucks.
He's ready. He's not going to fuck up.
Oh, no, dude. He's going to fuck up whether he does it right or not. Somebody's going to hate his decision, and I want them to have a place to send it.
And just make sure that you put at STP tattoo. That's Skippy the prostitute tattoo.
Hey, when the potty gets something wrong, make sure you message him. You change, bro. You change.
No, bro. At the end of the day, you're the only one that's changing, man. You're the only one that's changing.
No, hey.
I was thinking that. Chris is changing.
Changing, bro.
I mean, it's just not the same. It's just not the same, man. It's just not the same.
Hey, all you sorry bastards, you know what? I just realized I got a fall, dude.
All right, man. It was great times tonight. I'm glad we got to hand out some awards, call out some bozos, and chill out. I'm super fucking baked right now.
I am too. Hey, everybody, I want to thank everybody. Texas Jeff, every Friday night we do this. You, all your boys, anybody who wants to call in and bullshit talk about anything, I don't give a fuck. Just call in and hang out with us. You're always welcome.
Yeah, sounds good, man. I always like to listen. I need to start calling in more, though, like I used to.
Oh, yeah.
You're totally welcome. Chris Gregory from MMA Topics, Jeff from Clinch Cuts and Mouth Guards, Foxy from MMA Madhouse, all you fuckers, I appreciate it. All you fans who listen and support this shit, thank you. All you Goofa Zombies, fuck off, Eagle.
Dude, if you've been wondering where to find the largest selection of custom glass products in Central Oregon, wonder no more. At Vision Smoke Shop, located on Southwest 6th in Redmond, they feature one-of-a-kind stuff from 16 local glass blowers. They don't only blow glass, they blow your mind, man. They got great prices on hookah products and tobacco, too, so stick that in your pipe and smoke it. Literally, the friendly staff can educate you. They'll be happy to get you up to speed on everything Vision Smoke Shop has to offer. Thinking your hectic disc golf schedule might make it tough to stop by? They understand. And at Visions, they've got everything you need to make your disc golf experience perfect. So it's worth your trip, because if there's one thing they don't like to see wasted, it's time. While you're there, be sure to check out the selection of custom painted longboards. Visit facebook.com/visionsmoke for a first-hand look at some of their unique items. Their prices are already affordable, and they also give a 10% discount to OMMP cardholders, because if there's another thing they don't like to see wasted, it's money. What do they like to see wasted? Well, you figure that one out. Vision Smoke Shop, located in downtown Redmond, the glassiest place in Central Oregon.